Day FM.
It's that time of the week again, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dermot and Dave Show Best Of podcast. But not if you're driving. Definitely don't sit back. In fact, sit up now.
Hi guys, welcome to the podcast intro. I'm Dermot.
Oh, I'm Maria.
No, don't.
Oh, sorry. How do I do?
Don't say your name.
What do I do?
Just breathe heavily.
What are you wearing? That's how I ring Dermot.
Yeah. Doesn't even ring me. That's how she just leans in my kitchen window. How are you cooking now? That's your tea towel.
You have 9 fish fingers for dinner.
I did. I had 9. My wife's away. Kids are away. I had 9 fish fingers, 4 of which were burnt.
That's because they only cook. They cook frozen. Colin Norman Albert.
I couldn't eat. I don't eat fish fingers anyway, but I'd imagine 9 of them would. Did you not feel a bit sick?
No, that was just right. I love fish fingers. I really do.
I feel honestly that way about waffles.
Yes.
Bird's Eye waffles.
Mm.
So I would, I wouldn't eat 9 of them, I'd say, but.
Not dissimilar in terms of cooking, because if you overcook the waffle,
loses everything.
Yeah, it just goes like a crispy.
Everything in the middle disintegrates.
Same with the fish finger. You lose the juicy fish and it just becomes a kind of
a
fish-flavoured snack.
I'm not against that. What did you, make them into a sandwich or?
No.
Did you have a sauce?
I cooked them on tinfoil.
Yeah.
I lifted up the tinfoil and I used that as a plate.
Nice.
Ah, no washing up.
No washing
You are a winner.
Life is too short for washing up. I'm a big fan of anything you can do to avoid having to wash anything.
Yeah.
We don't have a dishwasher, so.
Oh, see, I do.
Oh, God.
So I don't mind.
Just have no interest. I get no joy from cooking. And I get even less joy from cooking for myself.
So the problem I've had over the last few days, it's been all fish fingers and waffles and everything in my house because cooking in the dead heat that has been this heat wave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely doesn't appeal to me.
It is too hot to cook.
It's too
hot. But you're also not hungry.
No.
That's why I ended up having 9 fish fingers.
We thought we lost our appetite because we got vaccinated last Friday. And now I just realised it's just that we're too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did have no appetite over the weekend, last weekend after Friday, but I've had no appetite all week. And then it's like, you make something, you're like, oh my God, I'm starving.
Yeah.
But up until that point, couldn't care less.
I'm pretty sure the only reason I chose fish fingers was so that I could open the freezer and actually touch something cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything else with them?
No, just them.
No sauce.
Like little soldiers.
No sauce.
No, nothing.
What?
I thought of going, I knew I'd brown sauce in the fridge.
Yeah. In the fridge?
These would be, yeah.
I'm not even going
I'm not opening
there.
Up that can of worms again. And I thought I should get the brown sauce. And I thought, well, I'm already halfway to the sitting room. So I just didn't. I just ate them dry. Off tinfoil. Oh my God. Let my wife come home. Look what I've become. Anyway, thankfully, you don't have to eat 9 semi-burnt fish fingers. You just have to listen to our podcast, which is equally painful. No, it's got great stuff from the week.
Yeah, Dermot's new love for Boys to Men and Mariah Carey.
A lot of Cracker fans disappointed in me this week.
Yeah.
And then I went on to lose 2 episodes of Cheese and Crackers. What the hell is happening?
You've lost your confidence.
Anyway, I became obsessed with that particular song. You'll find out just what part got me my juices going. We also had the Cork basketball team who mysteriously became sponsored by a Hollywood actress and model. We also had eggs. Weird eggs were found in a garden.
Or were they?
Or were they
dot,
eggs?
Dot, 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 question mark.
They're gross, whatever they are.
Mm.
And there was Noni, there was bad jokes.
Yeah.
Say stuff that suits the music.
And several other things.
I can never remember because I did it yesterday.
We have no memories because we do 15 hours of this a week. And that breaks down into, say, 4 to say, when that's 60 segments a week and we don't remember anything. Anything. It's the vaccine. Blame the vaccine. Anyway, have a great fish finger. I mean, day.
You're a lady. You're shedding water, so the tears are flow.
All morning, lads. All
morning we've been subjected to this, and he still doesn't know the chords.
Never.
Oh, he's gone down and knocked on the
head. Oh, Limerick!
Yeah.
What a match, lads.
We'll get to that.
What a match!
We'll get to that shortly. Ian Mayo suggesting that I could be singing Glory, Glory, Man United, going up against Dermot's Limerick, You're a Lady. Cheese crackers. It's gotten old. This is a new way to do it. Yeah, Manchester United, Dermot, yesterday, beat Derby, Wayne Rooney's Derby County.
Is this a pre-season?
2-1, one of five pre-season friendlies that I'll be watching on MUTV.
Listen, it's not about the pre-season friendlies happening across the Irish Sea. It was all about the Munster final yesterday, happening in Páirc Uí Chaoimh down in Cork, between Limerick and Tipperary. And, wow, it was... just all looked Tipperary after at halftime.
So at halftime, my understanding of this on social media, because I wasn't watching it, was that Limerick were down by 10.
Yeah, and it was Tipperary just looked absolutely on top of them. It was, and it was a side of Limerick that no one had seen. There isn't a sporting coach or, say, a business exec of, or any kind of team leader in the country this morning who doesn't want to know what the hell John Kiely said to his team at halftime, because a different team came out of that dressing room and they absolutely tore Tipperary apart in the second half.
Right.
And it was like it suddenly turned into, it wasn't even hurling, it was like ballet, lads. But the best part about it all, of course, is that within this show, there are certain rivalries. And Cathal Minogue is a proud tip man from Cashel.
Sure is.
He was at a wedding over the weekend. And you may remember last Friday, his biggest dilemma was how he was going to manage to orchestrate to see the hurling match while he was meant to be at a wedding and obviously paying attention to the bride and being a proper, well-behaved guest.
He did point out on our WhatsApp over the weekend that the manager of the hotel came up to him and asked him, was the TV he provided him big enough? So he obviously heard him on the radio and decided to furnish him with his own television. So,
anyway,
yeah.
Of course, like Cathal, like every Tipperary fan, you know, throughout the first half, at halftime, had never been more confident. I mean, it was a lead that most teams just wouldn't come back from. So he started sending me cocky voice notes on WhatsApp. Have a listen.
Tipperary, Tipperary, oh, 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 oh.
Let's be honest, that is sung with the gusto of a man on day two of a wedding.
Absolutely.
Like, he means it, and in his head he's ranting and raving and he's doing a dance, but in reality he's about this speed.
I don't know if the village of Bansha is still standing after those 2 days. Anyway, he was obviously singing Tipperary, and the messages, oh, they kept coming.
If you're watching the Grand Prix, I would say, yeah, keep it on and just turn on the golf after, because Tip are hammering Limerick at halftime. They're possibly the greatest team ever.
Of course. You had this dilemma of, you had so many things on at the same time. You had the Grand Prix you wanted to watch in the Silverstone.
And the Munster final and the Open.
And the golf Open. So, yeah. So Cathal was saying to you that, like, basically forget the hurling because you've got the other two things to watch, and Limerick are going to be destroyed.
All the cockiness that kept coming. Score predictions, even.
Tip to win by 5. You heard it here first. All right. Okay, thanks. Good luck.
And this.
Never mind, you can ignore those last few messages.
That was obviously a full-time. Even in the background, all the noise has died down.
Never mind, you can ignore those last few messages.
Oh, it was so beautiful. So beautiful. Because between the amount of sport that I had to watch yesterday.
Oh, you had to.
And certain things called family obligations and actually getting the kids out of the house and stuff like that. I did have a few things on record delay and I was a bit behind on the hurling.
Oh.
But I decided I would look to ease the domestic front. I would take the kids out and then I'll come back. So I met a couple of people. Like, first of all, I said to my son, look, if you hear anything about the hurling, do not tell me. I don't want to know anything.
Right.
He's like, Dad, how would I hear? I'm up a mountain with you.
Yeah. Also, literally. I've got cool friends who don't talk about hurling. How about that? How about that, Dad?
We were up at the top of Hotehead. Like, there isn't a sinner around. Mm. Nobody. This couple arrive out of nowhere walking their dog, and the dogs do that sniffing each other thing, and then you have a bit of chit-chat while the dogs are smelling each other's you-know-whats. And they said, must have known I was from Limerick, so they said, have you seen the match? And I went, no. I put my hands over my ears. I'm like, please don't say anything. Please don't say anything. I'm recording it and I'm going home in a minute to watch it. And they went, okay, all right. No worries. You won't be disappointed,
oh,
though.
No, that's so unfair.
You won't be disappointed. So I was like, oh, I guess we won then. So when I watched the first half, even though Limerick were 10 points down, 11 right. points at one point, I knew we were going to come back.
That is so unfair. Don't ever do that to someone.
What happens to people? Just don't tell me. Just say nothing.
Cruel.
You won't be disappointed. Well, I am now. Thank you.
Someone says, oh God, Cahill, you silly boy. As my dad always says, a shut mouth catches no flies. Never gloat till it's all over. Yeah. But Dermot's the kind of fella you might gloat up against if you had the chance. Someone else's plus the Tour de France was on yesterday. I'll be honest with you, I didn't see that.
No, I didn't manage to squeeze that in. But the Formula One was unbelievable as well.
Who won?
Well, first of all, like, first lap excitement.
No, please. Please don't bore us with your Formula One chat.
No, I'm sorry. Max Verstappen flew off the track on the first lap and slid into the barriers, into the tyres. And thankfully, he was okay. But he crashed at well over 100 miles an hour.
And then was he out?
Then he was gone. And Lewis got a 10-second penalty, but still came back to take the lead in the second last lap and managed to win his 8th Grand Prix at Silverstone, which is just incredible.
It's almost as incredible an achievement as the fact that you talked about Formula One and I'm not asleep. So well done. Congratulations.
And sure, then there was the golf. Lots of your texts and WhatsApps coming in on 0874 100 102. Dermot, if you were a true golf fan, you would have stayed up until 2 a.m. to watch Seamus Power win. Yeah, fair play, Irish golfer who had his first PGA win on the PGA Tour.
Yes, right.
Which obviously gives him a lot of prize money. I think he won over $600,000. But you get your card for 2 years, plus he gets entrance into numerous competitions, including the US PGA Major.
Brilliant.
So, well done to Seamus Power. A great win.
That's so annoying, Dermot says. This is someone about the couple who said to you, oh, you won't be disappointed about the match you had recorded, effectively giving away the end result. As a snooker enthusiast, you'd never have that problem because nobody gives a shite about it. So there's some pluses to that, in fairness.
Snooker used to be so massive. You know, certainly anyone in the 80s or 90s in Ireland would have remembered watching staying up late at night to watch the snooker. If you were a kid, you know, you were staying up because it was always on very late. It was like 11 o'clock or 11 or
half. By the time they got around to the end of the final,
It was on really late and all the competitors smoked and drank their way through it. What a decade.
True sportsmen. We got a WhatsApp voice note from Pal.
Yeah, Dermot. Shout out to my good friend in Tipperary, Donald Duggan, who sent a text to our WhatsApp group at halftime in the match yesterday saying, it's coming home.
No! Don't you?
No!
Don't you see how much that phrase tempts fate and it doesn't work out in your favour? Maybe he was single. Maybe he single-handedly destroyed it for Tip by sending that WhatsApp message.
Somebody says, Darren in Kilkenny says, I made that mistake in the Liverpool-Milan final to all my Liverpool mates years ago. Never again. I think a lot of people did. 2005, Liverpool 3-0 down against AC Milan in the final of the Champions League. Every Man United fan texting their Liverpool friends going, ha! Up Milan! They came back and won the thing.
Someone says, I'd love a Formula One review from Dermot after every race. It's pay-per-view and never get to hear about it. After he got me back into it with the Netflix show, it's only fair. Can't be the only one.
Listen, I think you're right. I think Dermot can individually send you WhatsApp voice notes where he reviews the F1.
I tell you what, though, I will put up a post on my Instagram if you go and have a look at it. It's from the Sky Sports Formula One coverage. And you know you're a big deal if you're Lewis Hamilton. And how do you know that? Well, because even Tom Cruise himself will queue up patiently to congratulate you after you've just won your 8th British Grand Prix. Tom Cruise was there, Harrison Ford was there, and Michael Douglas were all there in the pit lanes, all kind of hanging around, just being wealthy actors. But Tom Cruise was embedded in the Mercedes team, but apparently Lewis Hamilton invited him as a personal guest to come to the Grand Prix. So he had full access everywhere. But you see, when Lewis Hamilton wins and he's making his way from the track to the podium, there's Tom Cruise standing with his hands clasped in front of him, waiting patiently to give Sir Lewis a hug to say well done. Wow. You think, wow, that is power.
Today, lads, is July the 19th. Might ring a bell or two.
Any idea why July the 19th should be so important? Would that be the day the Ice Age ended? No, Dougal. You can't be that precise about the Ice Age. I look it up in the diary. July 19th. On this day, Galway liberated from Indians.
Marathon becomes Snickers. Ted, Ice Age ends.
Of course, the important thing about July the 19th is when Father Jack walks in his priestly swimsuit, clutching, you know, a fishing rod, a fishing net, and he has a sun hat on, and Ted goes, ah, holidays. Here over the weekend, I was running my World Cup, Marie. I don't know if you tuned in, considering you were the one who helped me put the World Cup together on my Instagram. It was the reality TV World Cup. And Maria, I don't know how you felt about it. It came down in the end to two cooking shows in the third and fourth place playoff, Great British Bake Off versus MasterChef.
Yeah.
Great British Bake Off won that one. But the final was I'm a Celeb versus Gogglebox. Where would you have stood on that?
So I would have voted I'm a Celeb, but I'm a Celeb was up against Real Housewives.
Oh, early doors.
Yeah.
First round, I think.
Oh, you would have voted for Real Housewives all the way.
And I've had many discussions over the weekend about this. And a lot of people are not happy, Dave, but a lot of things.
I'm quite surprised that Bake Off didn't make it to the final. Isn't that kind of the one that everyone holds dear?
Yeah, well, it did. I mean, it went
first dates. First date is gone pretty early as our last 16.
All the ones that I voted for were gone, which actually kind of ruins my whole confidence behind my telly link.
Well, no, because, I mean,
it's everything I recommend.
First date's up against Gogglebox. That's a tough match in the quarterfinals. That's a tough game to get, and it went out, unfortunately. But British Bake Off did well. It kept kind of coming back from what I thought was like, oh, it's going to lose this one. No, back. But yeah, ended up third.
So I'm a Celeb versus
Gogglebox in the final.
I'd go I'm a Celeb.
I'm a Celeb did win it.
Good. Okay.
54-46. It was the tightest game of the whole World Cup was the final. But all the rest of them were like 81-19.
Would that signify a lack of interest?
Not based on the numbers. People know what they like.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to vote on it. Sorry, I forgot. I just did a lot on with Limerick and all.
Touche. Well, actually, Dermot Whelan, you're involved in the next two World Cups.
Really?
See, he
doesn't
greatest
even know guy
yet.
Ever?
Yeah, no. I've told you about this. Do you not remember?
Least likely to win a golf tournament at his own club.
No.
Biggest wreck the head in today.
100%. No one needs to vote on that. No, I'll fill Dermot in off air, and then tomorrow tune in just after 7 o'clock on my Instagram, Dave Today FM, and you'll find out how Dermot is involved in the next two World Cups that he doesn't remember agreeing to at all in the slightest.
No, absolutely no. I have to go through the contract now. Fine tooth comb.
Hi Dermot and Dave, can you please say hi to my kids, Isabella and Noah, and himself, Morten, home from Norway to spend the summer with Nanny and Grandad after a year apart, off to Portmarnock Beach today for a swim and 99s. Thanks a mil, love the show, says Carol. Enjoy Portmarnock Beach. 'Tis a stunner of a place. I'm mildly biased because I live there, but it is amazing, particularly in this weather. In fact, I brought the kids down for a couple of swims at 7:30 and 8 o'clock at night over the weekend. It's just phenomenal to get them down and throw them into the sea at that time of night.
Why don't you get in with them?
I'm never getting in.
Why?
Because why would I get cold? I'm not six. I don't find it exciting.
It's really hot and the water's actually quite warm now.
No, it's not quite warm. Quite warm is a bath that's been left sit there for about 40 minutes. That's quite warm. The sea is freezing. I don't care why anyone would go in there. I don't understand. But my children are children. They enjoy it. I stand there at the side and I watch them and I go, don't go out too far now. Come back in. Get off that bodyboard. Okay, in. Yeah, that's all I do. I never get in.
Not even tempted?
No.
To paddle even?
No.
You wouldn't even paddle.
You know what the worst thing on earth is? Sand on wet feet. It's my least favorite thing. So that.
Why do you live beside a beach? It's such a waste.
No, because I can just wear runners. It's totally fine. I get down a pair of runners. Look at the sea.
The happy pair are spinning in their hummus right now, listening to you.
Dermot, we surely can't gloss over the tennis racket story. What was the straw that broke your back? What ages were you and how much trouble did you get in?
With my brother?
Yeah.
When I bit him in the back, I was probably, I'd say, 8.
Okay.
When I smashed his front tooth of the tennis racket, I think I was probably 9 or 10.
Okay. So there was a succession of violent incidents. Yeah. Definitely not the way to get your kids to behave.
He kept his distance anyway. Let's just put it that way.
Dave definitely had his lap blanket over his legs while sitting on the beach. I had a towel over my legs. Yes, sitting on a blanket. Good morning, Dermot and Dave. Tell Dave to do just one thing this week out of his comfort zone, just for the experience. You don't understand. I've gotten to the point in my life where everything I do is in my comfort zone. I've achieved nirvana from that point of view. I only do things that are firmly within my comfort zone.
You don't realise you're messing with powers he couldn't possibly comprehend. Like, he's literally, he's eaten the same lunch for 20 years. Like, this man's powers to stay within the confines of the comfort zone. Incredible.
Can I just give one piece of advice as well to anyone who is going to Portmarnock these days? And this isn't angry resident gives out about poor parking.
Oh, but it is.
No, but it honestly isn't, right? There's a road up from the beach that goes to Dunn's. Mm. And there's an unbroken white line down the middle of that, which I didn't know, honestly didn't know, that that's the same as a double yellow. I didn't know that. You can't park either side of an unbroken white line.
Why don't they just put double yellow on it?
Because the rules of the road say if there's an unbroken white line, you can't park there. Therefore, you're supposed to know this. I didn't know this rule of the road. Anyway, the guards come out and they sticker every single car and you all get tickets. So on that road that goes up from Dunn, up from Spar at the beach to Dunn's, if you park there, you're going to get a ticket. I don't want you
Which
getting tickets.
Which just happens to be outside your house.
Look, that's irrelevant. My point is, I was trying to save people.
Are they still parking across your gate?
No, that's only happened a few times.
Which I think is just, like, you really almost have to admire that mentality to give so little of a crap that you would park across someone's gate, block their cars in, say, that's it, I'm going to the beach.
I'm off to the beach for 8 hours. Yeah. See you later. Yeah. Well, the tow truck was out on Saturday. Moved tow. Own cars away in that street, so do yourself a favour and just don't.
Just park in Dave's driveway.
Yeah, I'll put a sign up outside, say free parking here.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm exactly the same as you. Can't understand why people keep trying to get us out of our comfort zone. Yes, thank you. What is wrong with comfort zone? Live in it. Embrace it. Get comfortable in your comfort zone. That's what it's all about.
It's not. You won't be lying in your deathbed thinking, oh, I'm glad I didn't try anything.
I will be going, my life was a success because I didn't try bungee jumping or swimming in the stupid sea or getting in a bath of ice. Like, listen to this. Someone says, it's gone down the page here. I jumped into the Pollock holes in Kilkee at 9 a.m. yesterday morning and genuinely couldn't breathe properly for 5 minutes. There were some English people getting into and she was like, oh, it's actually quite warm. No, it isn't. It's Baltic, says Catherine.
Thank you. The Pollock holes, in fairness, in Kilkee are always freezing. I do remember that about the Pollock holes. Even when the beach is warm and everywhere else in the country's warm, the Pollock Hole water is always freezing. They're basically big pools in the flat rocks.
Right.
It's a cool place to swim. And even if you have a snorkel mask and all that, but yeah, it is definitely, they won't win any manhood prizes after that dip.
Ted Lasso, Maria, people are talking about that. Ted Lasso is brilliant, well worth using your free Apple TV trial for it. It's like real life Ned Flanders coaching. It's so lovely. Ted Lasso was the best thing I watched last year. Smiled from start to finish of every episode. Never felt so happy or good watching a TV show. Like Dermot said, I was telling people to watch it, but nobody had Apple TV. Worth getting the whole subscription just for that alone.
Someone says, I live across the road from a church and it is guaranteed for weddings that someone will park in front of my driveway, whether my car is in the drive or not. The few times I have got to speak to the person, they are so stunned that they park without noticing the driveway / gate / my car, thinking of buying a plastic Oscar to award to the next one. I know that.
Really?
Oh my God, sorry.
How
it wasn't that we were running really late for the wedding and thought, if we don't get in here quick, we'll be disowned. That's amazing.
You can drop us
park across someone's gate. You might as well just go in and park on their bed.
I can't believe you're doing this.
You're about to get
it's
a window.
A betrayal of trust.
Hey, it's not a betrayal of trust. You're not allowed to assault me in these ways and expect to get off with no reprimand.
You come across as, you know, this kind, gracious guy. I mean, you're even wearing a t-shirt which has a bloody unicorn on the front.
In fairness, the unicorn is in an inverted pentagram. Like, there's still a bit of metal about it, in fairness. But yes, yeah. I am wearing a unicorn
to
t-shirt.
To the ignorant onlooker, it looks like a picture of a unicorn. But here you are, about to play private WhatsApps that I sent to you about something that I have, for some unknown reason, become incredibly passionate about.
Sorry, pot, cat, anyone else in this room? Yesterday, Cathal Minogue's private WhatsApp voice notes are being blasted across the country.
He was drunk. It's open season on drunks. You know that.
Here's the thing. Dermot, you've got form on this, okay? You watch something on Netflix.
Oh, as
and then it becomes an absolute addiction. So, for example, Formula One. You watch The Drive to Survive. Next thing I know, all I keep getting from you is, hey, did you see Max Verstappen's crash? I'm like, no, please. I hope he's okay, but I don't want to talk about him.
I'm utterly obsessed with Formula One. I'm planning to go to a Grand Prix. It's this new thing in my life. And yes, it came from a TV show.
Yeah, and then the other day, we were talking about a TV show called This Is Pop. where it's a TV show about pop music, and each episode focuses on a phenomenon within pop. Yeah.
This came out of Maria's telly recommendations. Maz does her telly, obviously, on this show every Monday and Friday. And the first episode features a band that I couldn't have cared less about over the years, and is one of Dave's faves, which is Boys to Men.
Yeah, it leads to this kind of voice note arriving unsolicited into my WhatsApp.
I never told you. It won't leave my head.
So, since I watched it, okay, that song, this is the one they did with Mariah Carey, One Sweet Day, it's called.
What a song.
Never cared about it. Even the other Boys to Men songs, I might have known. This song was never on my radar.
Yeah.
And they featured this song just a tiny bit on that TV show. And it has worked its way into my system like a COVID virus. And it will not leave. And I wake up every single morning singing this song.
Like, that is such a worrying sound to start a voice note. Because you don't know what else. I didn't know where that was going. I didn't know that was going to end up being. I was like, whoa, sorry, kids.
Can I just say, this is an earworm with a difference. A lot of the time, songs can find their way into our, you know, our mental awareness. And we may not even like, we may hate the song. Mm. I have discovered that this is one of the greatest songs ever written. And the best way I can describe it, right? You know when someone you know, like a girl, went away to Australia for a couple of years and then they come back and maybe you see them at midnight mass and you're like, oh my God, you're gorgeous. How did we never, you know? This is how I feel about this song. It's like, you were in front of me all these years, Boys to Men, Mariah Carey, Sweetest Day, and I never.
If you see somebody that you fancy at midnight mass and make this sound, you're going to be thrown out immediately. Although it gets worse, right? So I'm not responding to this gick. Like, I know the song is fine. Like, one of the finest songs ever. I've been saying this for years.
You have. And I've been deaf to your arguments. And this song now, I think, could be the greatest song I've ever heard.
He continues. More unsolicited voice notes come.
Now, the best bit of the entire song is the... No, 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 you're shining down on me from heaven. That little stop is so class.
Oh, here it is. The floor toms, they come in. Oh.
Here it is in all its glory.
God, that little bit, it just gets me right in the solar plexus.
It's so underwhelming. Although I will say, I did eventually respond and say, no, I had to tell him what my favourite bit of the song is, so I was playing it on my smart speaker.
No, this bit.
That bit where Wanya and Mariah sing a harmonised, no. That hits me in the solar plexus. So then I realized I was feeding into his, you know, addiction here, and I was kind of justifying the fact that he's sending me all these weird Boys to Men voice notes. So I just thought, you know, look, I'm glad you like one of the best songs ever written. Eventually, it was out in like 1992 or something.
I know. I'm telling you. Like, there is Late to the Party, and there is, like, It Happened in My Grandparents' Time. So this is how late I am to this party. The party was well and truly over. Boys to Men, I think, are they still performing in Las Vegas?
They are. They're a trio now, yeah.
But I just wonder, you know, are there any... Obviously, I was picking out little bits of that song. Those opening lines. And when you sing it by yourself in the shower, you're like, I am Wanya, or whatever his name is. But are there any little bits of songs that other people like that, that there's a song, but maybe it's just like a couple of seconds in it.
In it, okay.
Yeah, so like moment. That... in that song just fills me with joy. Is there any other bit of a song, maybe it's just a stop, a whoosh, the way the singer sings it, that just kind of gets you at the same time?
Okay. We'll explore and see if anybody else as obsessed as you are. 087-4100-102.
No, that's you better play the real song.
Play the whole song.
Absolutely. People need, maybe there's magic here that other people haven't rediscovered
it
like me.
It was number one for 17 weeks. I think people know the song. Well, I will happily play the song because
it is.
Yeah,
but no, I want you all, now this is not some radio song you have on in the background. You have all the windows down in the car and you can't really hear it properly. I want, shut the windows, put the kids to bed or out on the street.
The kids to bed at 17 minutes past nine in the morning.
To actively listen to, none of your passive radio listening now, actively listen to this song and you two will go, oh my God, One Sweet Day is the greatest song that has ever been written. Dermot was right.
Mariah Carey,
and it
Boys
took him 20 years to get to the conclusion, but he did eventually.
Wait, 30 years,
30 years to get to the conclusion.
Doesn't make you feel the same way it makes Dermot feel.
Oh, Declan says, I'm an emotional wreck listening to this, lads, for absolutely no feckin' reason. We see, it's a touching song. You know, it's about not saying what you wanted to say to loved ones before they passed. I mean, like, is there any more they can do in that song to punch it right in the feels?
Possibly not. It is one of the best songs ever. But I mean, again, I just think it's hilarious that this has come from you watching a Netflix show which has now given you this song, although everyone else, in fact, if there's any artists listening who maybe had a hit in the 90s or the early 2000s, all you need to do to get it played on the radio in Ireland is make a Netflix documentary about it and show it to Dermot. He'll then become obsessed with it and it'll definitely get an airplay.
Someone says, I'm going to guess Dermot was that teenager that immediately fell in love with any girl he kissed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to get to kiss someone was the problem. Like if my sleeve brushed off someone on the way back from communion, instant love affair.
Sarah's been on to us to say her favourite bit of any song in the history of any songs ever is the sax solo in Careless Whisper.
Classic. That's a classic part of any song.
One of the best things ever happened on the internet was when a guy, a kid who could play that, got a sax and just would stand up in shopping malls, in restaurants, in sports games, and just play that, and everything would stop, and everyone would be looking up at the sax guy.
Oh,
this teenager
that. That is a very clever thing to do. Like you would just win every moment for the rest of your life.
Georgina was onto us on a WhatsApp voice note.
I've been going shotgun underneath the hot sun.
Unless George would sing it.
I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like it's someone.
Such a good piece of
somebody
song.
Somebody very insultingly says, I didn't know what song Dermot was even trying to sing until you actually played the real one. Yeah. How dare you? What?
Listen, I've got it. Don't worry, I'll keep playing that bit. Just imagine getting that into your WhatsApp voice. Maria, have you got one?
Yeah, I always loved the, do you remember All Saints covered Under the Bridge?
Oh, by the Chili's, yeah.
Yeah, and at the end, like close to the end, they start singing the same line at different timings. Does
okay.
that make sense?
Not really,
so
but okay.
It's like a little surprise and you don't know which bit you want to sing along to this time when you listen to it.
Play it for us. Actually a really good version of that tune.
Oh, yeah, now we need to play this. Dermot's going to get upset. Someone has already pointed out that what's going to happen to cheese and crackers? Is it going to be cheese versus 90s R&B?
I can't tell you what's happening. You know, maybe this is a midlife thing. Maybe suddenly you just start to look around and suddenly cheese is a thing in your life. I'm sorry, cracker fans. It's just a phase I'm going through, I promise.
Oh,
it's a boys to men phase. Help me! If you just joined us, I was talking about my guilty pleasure, my confession. Over the last week, I've become obsessed with the song that is nearly 30 years old. It is Boys to Men and Mariah Carey.
Yes, he's just discovered a 30-year-old song for the first time in his life.
I don't know what's happening to me. But it got us talking about bits of songs that we love, because there's a bit in that where it goes, and I just love that. So sometimes we may not even love a song, but it's just a particular part of it that kind of gets us. Like, for instance, Taylor Swift's song, Lover, just the way she goes, Lover,
Lover.
Wow, she does a better job than you.
I just love that. She certainly does. And also, the start of this song, A, because it just sounds cool, but also because it just signifies, oh my God, summer is here.
Drums, please.
Wait. Is anyone else seeing a problem here? This our team here, Marie and Ema are in the studio here. There are personality traits in this show, and I think it's important that the lines don't get crossed.
Right.
Dermot our Cracker Man is now obsessed with Taylor Swift's lover, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime, and Boys to Men and Mariah Carey, Once a Day. I thought I was the cheese guy. No.
Look,
apparently not.
Maybe you've converted him.
Possibly
this
so.
Is told you is just a phase. Like at 11:30 today on the show, I will be firmly back in Team Cracker. I will get back into my cracker box.
Lots of texts flying in 087-400-102. People suggesting bits they love. Summer Jam. I know you love that song, Maria, yeah. By the Underdog Project. The intro of that.
Get on the floor.
Just that get on the floor bit.
Get on the floor.
Now it's one of those bits of the songs, you know, you're sitting around and you're having drinks and then you hear that and suddenly one person goes, oh my God, you have to dance to this.
They dance talk on the way to the dance floor. Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger is getting some love. Just the big long so.
Yeah, the build up to that chorus is great.
Maria, a few people are talking about the musical bit in the middle of Fix You.
Ah.
About, yeah, there you go. That it just gives you all the feels, this bit.
Everyone on every reality TV show is bawling their eyes out. That's the bit of music they always pick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Colin says, lads, Halo by Beyonce is an absolute banger of a tune. I wouldn't thank you or any other radio station to play any Beyonce or Destiny's Child song, but when Halo comes on the radio, I go full-scale diva at this bit.
A song that a girl will stand up holding her drink and then sing it while pointing at her friends. One of those.
Then we got a voice note in from Ash.
Hey guys, I'm just listening to he's chatting about Boys to Men and the Mariah Carey song. I totally agree. It just gets you.
Thank you.
But the boys who make it the best where you just get caught in your heart or in your throat are any Westlife song that they get up from their stools. On the long drive to Cork, and you are going to share the next couple of hours with me, and I'm delighted. Thanks, lads, for the crack. Bye.
Thank you, Ash. And yes, you're right. Any rise from the stool moment that the lads in Westlife do, like Flying Without Wings, perfect example.
Yeah.
Still on the stools. Shane's up first. Everybody goes on the stage.
You walk to the front of the stage and you're like, oh, yes!
Eva was on to us as well.
Good morning, Darren and Dave. I've been listening to your piece about the Boys to Men and immediately the song came into my head. For the first time in forever, the reprise version in the Frozen soundtrack.
Wow.
Where Elsa and Anna are in Elsa's ice castle and they have the little dialogue in the middle about Arendelle's and deep snow. Right after that, they start to harmonize when they sing, and it just gets me every time.
I know exactly the bit you were talking about, Eva. It is absolutely incredible. This is the bit she's talking about.
I don't know how. Sure you can. I know you can. Because for the first time in forever, I'm such a fool. I can't do it.
I don't know, there's probably a lot of parents going, I never want to hear any bit of that song ever again.
What a loop movie.
For 5 years.
I get so confused on whether I'm supposed to say Anna or Anna. Am I allowed to say Anna?
Try having a daughter called Anna, and we try and explain to her that her name in the movie, the girl's name in the movie, is Anna, except they just say Anna because they're Americans. She's like, no, her name is Anna. My name is Anna.
Irene doesn't know who I'm talking about if I say Anna.
Totally. Someone says, the bit in Tenacious D's tribute where Jack Black just sings nonsense for 15 seconds. Oh, so good. And if we can stay with metal just for a second, one of my favourite bits of a Metallica song that I'm not even that fond of. It's Enter Sandman, everyone loves it, whatever. I don't particularly like it. But there's a bit towards the end where he kind of laughs over a bit of quiet guitar and then goes, "Boo!" Right?
That's very creepy now, Dave. Yeah.
It's good, Dave, but it's no lover.
A lot of people saying Mark McCabe, Maniac 2000. Mm. The very start of the song where he shouts, yeah. Gets people very, very excited. And I like the people that are kind of giving us their bit and they're singing it for us, like Lisa is.
Immortality. The Bee Gees and Celine Dion. Ooh.
Ooh, is right. Michelle has got this one for us.
Hi, Dermot and Dave. My favourite piece of a song ever is the drum section in Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's
oh, my God. It just gives me goosebumps. Love it.
Well, so do we, listen. Pretty epic, in fairness.
Everyone remembers that, and it kind of sounds like, oh, that's where the song gets going. But actually, that's, I think there's only 40 seconds left in the song after the drum solo comes in. It's like 3 minutes into it or something. It definitely, you're waiting the whole time.
Sean O'Reilly, who you'll hear every Saturday on Today FM doing Saturday Hits, is joining us on the line now. Hi, Shauna.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all. Good to chat to you.
Now, you're listening to this as well. Have you got a favourite bit of a favourite song somewhere?
Yes, I do. It's Believe by Cher. And I actually hated the song when it was out. Like, hated it.
Oh.
So much. And it, I don't know, maybe with age, as an older woman, I can now appreciate what Cher was singing about. Whereas when I was 12, I didn't have a clue.
So this is like Dermot, who slept on Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men One Sweet Day for, oh, you know, just 30 years until he realized it was a good song.
I heard Dermot and I was like, that's exactly my Cher story. Yeah, that is it.
It yes. just creeps up in you and someday you realize. Yeah. But then, you know, it's not like when you like a song when you hear it on the radio. You're like, oh, I like that song. Suddenly you have to just keep playing it over yes. and over and over again.
Like Cher was one of my number one listen to songs on Spotify this year.
Oh,
like
when you get those
year.
Reports.
Yeah. And the worst thing about that, Shauna, is that Spotify doesn't know that this is a, you know, a shot in the dark, once in a blue moon kind of thing. And it's weird. And then it goes, oh, you like this? Well, all your music recommendations are wrecked forever now.
Go on,
your credibility is gone.
Yeah, totally.
The algorithm tell is poisoned.
Tell us about the bit in Cher's Believe that you love, though.
Okay, there's something about the tone of her voice when she says, what am I supposed to do? Sit around and wait for you. I just love it.
I don't even know why we have to play it. That was way better than Cher. But we'll have a listen anyway. What am I supposed to do? Sit around and
wait for you. Well, I can't do that. Oh, is everything all right at home, Shauna?
Shauna, do you know what? Do you know what the?
I'd like to say everything is fine in my relationship.
Do you know what the worst thing about this is, Shauna? Is this all came from Dermot watching episode one of a TV show on Netflix called This Is Pop? Okay, and it was about Boyz II Men and how Boyz II Men influenced every boy band that came after them, and indeed the boy bands that kind of knocked them off their throne, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, were modelled on the Boyz II Men model, and that was kind of why it happened. The second episode of This Is Pop, Shauna, is about auto-tune, which T-Pain famously popularized in the kind of noughties. But before that, it was this lady. It was that song that the producer first misused auto-tune on his computer to get it to make that weird kind of robotic effect. And then everyone went, oh, auto-tune. Okay, we can use this now. So
this all was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Boyz II Men, Cher, me and you talking on the radio again. It's great.
It is, Shauna. I can't wait till he's obsessed with Cher's Believe and T-Pain's second album.
Oh, look, I'm going to spend the rest of the day walking around New Building now. Trying to create my own auto-tune sound effects and failing miserably, obviously.
Shauna, Saturday, some good tunes coming up, Saturday Hits?
Oh, yeah, as, like, just tune after tune after tune.
Well, Boys to Men, Mariah Carey, and Cher, wall to wall. Yeah. All right, have a great week, Sean. See you later.
See you, lads.
Bye. Enjoy the sun.
We're talking about your favorite bits in songs. Declan's been on to tell us his least favorite bits in songs.
Guys, whatever about favorite bits of songs, what I can't stand is when artists decide to go. On some particular note, it wrecks my head. Mariah Carey is particularly guilty for it. There are others, but she's the first that springs to mind every time. It's desperate. It's desperate.
Come on, Declan.
Yeah, the old "Why sing one note when 40 will do?"
Absolutely.
But it kind of comes from the gospel tradition, doesn't it? That way of singing that Mariah embraced.
Totally. And if you can. Do it, I say. If you're able to sing 40 notes, you're supposed to sing one, knock yourself out.
Like I was doing in the WhatsApps.
Perfect. Maria, I see you've picked up a cup of tea. It's a bad idea. You're going to spit it all out when you're laughing at this.
Dave's world. Dave's world. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
You're safe, Maria.
Yeah, I actually
drink
think,
all you want.
I think I could hold it in my mouth for the whole...
Listen, I might set you a challenge some other week, Maria. For now, though, we will begin with a couple of hurling jokes. Although the first one, even though it's slagging off tip, it was sent in by a tip man called Patrick, who says, Liam Sheedy, who I'm guessing is the tip manager, will have the whole tip panel out when dogs this week. He wants to teach them how to hold on to a lead.
I shouldn't be laughing that much at that.
Eva said, what's the difference between a statty and a Tipperary hurler? A stag party wouldn't throw away 10 pints.
If Cahill was here.
10 pints.
He'd be throwing to.
He would. He's not here, though. Sheila says, all this good weather reminds me of the time a few years ago when I invented beach footwear for people with one leg. It was a flop. It was a flop.
Drink the tea, Maria. Yeah.
Irene says, Dave, I'm not sure I can cope with this heat. I'm sweating like a 92 Corsa on the NCT lift.
What a beautiful description.
Paul says, it's so hot out I could barely touch the steering wheel earlier. Then I realised I'd accidentally sat in the back. Cara Mullahan is 4 years old. She's from Milltown, Malbay and Clare. And she says,
why did the egg get arrested?
Why?
Because his yolk is hanging out.
Thank you, four-year-old.
His yolk was hanging out. That's a great joke.
Amanda says, hey, best-selling author Dermot Whelan, I've just written a book too. It's called 50 Shades of Gravy. It's very saucy. John says, what's the name of that superhero who ensures businesses are tax compliant? VATman.
No.
Sam says, Dermot, did you hear a man fell into a display of 300 golf clubs at the Open the other day?
No.
Doctors have said he should be okay, but he's not out of the woods yet.
I actually like that one.
Al says, I came out of the supermarket just now and there was a woman and she was crying her eyes out and she'd been saving for the whole of COVID and was getting ready to go on her dream holiday now that we can travel. I'll be honest, I felt really sorry for her, so I gave her €50. I wouldn't usually do that kind of thing, but I just found €2,000 and cashed in an envelope at the car park. Oh, Maria, don't drink during this one, Maria. Don't drink during this one. Ken says, I have recently split from my wife, Lorraine Lee. After I told her I was in love with her sister, Claire Lee. It's all worked out, though. It means I can see clearly now Lorraine has gone.
That is so bad.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
That is so bad. And I knew it was coming because you were saying their name so clearly.
I was, yeah. Trev.
No shame.
Trev says, Dave, you wouldn't know where a guy like me can find a person to hang out with, talk to, enjoy spending time with. Asking for a friend.
Oh, come on.
That's terrible.
Asking for a friend.
I could have taken so many sips of tea.
Pete says, I'm a bit skeptical if anyone tells me they do yoga every single day. I mean, come on, it's a bit of a stretch.
I hate these ones.
He's loving them.
Barry says, people say I'm old fashioned.
Oh, well, fiddlesticks, I doth declare. 'Tis mere tittle tattle.
And finally, Rob says, lads, wish me luck. I'm off to Tokyo to represent Ireland in the Olympics.
Nice.
I'm the favourite in the Kleptomaniac Championship. I expect to be coming home in a few weeks with the gold medal and the silver medal and the bronze medal and a couple of wallets. Olive is in Tralee in County Kerry with one hell of a story for us. Olive, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Not bad at all. Now, your other half is the kind of star of this, this story. Is that Richard?
Richard, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So paint a picture for us. Who's doing what on the ocean on Sunday?
So we would normally head to the beach. Obviously, we're in Kerry, beautiful spot. But my youngest had a football blitz. It was kind of lunchtime and we went, where can we go that won't be packed? So there's a pier in North Kerry and it has sea stacks and kind of beautiful cliffs. And we checked the Google and it was going to be high tide. So we said, perfect, we'll go out there and we can jump into the water, you know, have a swim around and it shouldn't be too packed.
Right.
So that's where we headed about kind of 1:30 on Sunday.
I noticed you didn't give us the name of this location. Is it still a secret you're hoping to keep?
Exactly, it's beautiful. I'll text it to you later.
Okay, okay. Fair enough.
I love that.
We'll keep it amongst ourselves.
Just for us. It's just for us.
Okay, so you went there. So is it you, your husband and your son?
Myself, my husband and my four kids.
Your four kids? Jeepers,
Charlie and son, yeah. So we all went swimming and like I said, there's a sea stack. So you come down off the pier and you swim over and there's a sea stack that has different levels. So the younger ones can jump off a lower level.
Now hang on, just for those of us who aren't as experienced with North Kerry's maritime spots, what is a sea stack?
A sea stack is a part of the cliff that has broken off and has been separated.
Okay.
So there's actually a Kerry company, Wild Water Adventures, that I have no affiliation with, but they do co-steering around there. So it's a really nice spot. You can climb up on rocks and jump into the water. The water's beautiful and clear. It's just great fun. And I mean, you know, you kids yourselves, they love jumping off anything
Absolutely.
High and into the water. And it's lovely and deep, so it's safe. So the younger ones were jumping off a sea stack, a platform that was maybe 1.5 to 2 metres.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rich and Kieran Ben went up to the really high one and jumped, which I suppose it must have been 6 metres. You'd be in the air for about 2 seconds before you hit the water.
I'd be on the low one now if I was gone on any of them, I can tell you.
Oh, I'd be on the high one with the lads.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The 7-year-old went up on the high one and jumped it a few times, not bother. I stayed in the water.
Probably smart. Okay, so what happened then?
So we swam, perfect, came back out of the water. We had food, we had lunch. My eldest is nearly 17, so she has a part-time job. She had to be back in town for 5. So we packed up, dropped her off and pulled up to a supermarket and went, we'll just get burgers, nice evening, great. And Rich has an Apple Watch and you know the way you can pay with your Apple Watch, and he looked at his wrist and he went, where's my watch? And we checked around the car and then I just saw his face fall and I was like, when do you remember having it? And he went, I had it on me when we jumped. And I said, I don't know. So he checked the iPhone, you can check where it is.
All right, find my iPhone.
Yeah, fine. So you can do the same with your watch. And he went onto his phone and it came up, Richard's Apple Watch, North Atlantic Ocean.
You're going to struggle to find that one, Richard.
Could you be a little more specific?
It actually came up and we just went, oh no. But the only thing was, I just went, look, we know exactly where we were jumping. It's worth going back out. You know, you can't just say, ah, well. So I just said, take me and the two younger boys home. And Ben is 14. He's nearly 15. He's a great swimmer. So I said, why don't you and Ben get goggles, get a mask and go and just chance your arm. You know, at least you've tried. So he was a bit kind of despondent, but dropped us home, took the masks and headed off. And I was at home just going, oh, please let him find the watch. Please, no, please let him find the watch.
And was he worried that the signal would disappear? Because I don't know how waterproof those Apple Watches are and how long it was going to last.
I'll have to put a review on the website because the last time it actually clocked that it was connected to his phone was 2:30 something. And I mean, he went back out about 6 o'clock.
Wow, so, and it was still registering that it was somewhere deep in the water.
In the North Atlantic Ocean, yeah, very specific. So they drove out and Ben swam over first and Rich just looked around the pier to see if it, you know, maybe it had fallen there, but no joy. So he swam over to Ben and I suppose luck was with us because we went out for high tide. So when we went back out again, the water was going out. Like if he had actually discovered he'd lost it when he lost it, he probably wouldn't have been able to dive down. It would have been
too deep.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tide was going out, the water was getting lower.
Yeah, so
Ben dived down a few times, and it's far enough to dive. And Rich dived down twice, and no joy. And Ben was kind of looking at him going, man, we haven't a hope. And he said, you know, I'll give it one more blast. He dived down, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw a black dot, and he grabbed it. And there was the
apple. No way!
The Apple Watch was found. And still working after the seawater.
And still working. It's perfect.
That is incredible.
I know.
What an ad for Apple's products and fairness. You lose it in the bottom of the sea, your phone tells you where it is, and you go out and find it, and it's still working.
Yeah. Nor, as one of his friends said, you know, normally when you lose something in the North Atlantic Ocean, you're not finding it.
You're not getting it back.
Although I imagine him sitting back into the car going, oh, wow, that's amazing. Found the Apple Watch. Now, hang on a sec. Where's my phone? Back in the water, kids.
Fair play to Ciarán and to Rich. That's brilliant. And what a story, Olive. I'm so delighted you found it.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I said, I'm glad I took photos or nobody would believe us. But we have the shot of it saying it's in the North Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, I think we're going to have to kidnap the lot of you to find out where this swimming spot is. Everybody wants to know.
I'll message you later. It's a beautiful spot. You'd love it. You'd
right,
love
well, it. We've got pictures of it, so we'll put it up on our blog on todayfm.com and maybe people will be able to deduct where it is from the pictures. But come here. Thanks a million for talking to us today. Fair play to you, Olive.
Thanks a million, guys.
See you later. Bye. We got a message in this morning and a picture on our WhatsApp, 087-4100-102. WhatsApp voice note from Aaron in Carlingford. Have a listen.
Hey, boys. I'm just out watering the garden this morning and found four speckled white eggs dug into the bark, you know, the bark that you'd spread over the garden. I was just wondering if you could help me with it. I think the eggs are gone past viability, but just wondering what would lay them and what's the best advice to do with if I come across a nest again. Thank you, Dermot and Dave. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I really am delighted that someone would think we're qualified to answer that.
Most certainly.
With
not.
Our ornithological expertise.
Extensive bird watching hours we've put in. Never. So if you get a look at the picture on Twitter, you'll see. So you know the way you put bark down in a flower bed, and obviously it prevents weeds, and looks really nice because it's dark and kind of black and brown or whatever. So sitting in there are four eggs. One of them has a bit of yellow on it, so it looks like it's actually been cooked and slightly cracked open. But four of them sitting there, like immediately my thought is, birds don't lay eggs on the ground.
Some do.
Do they?
Yeah,
Not like ostriches, but
there's birds that nest in long grass and in kind of undergrowth.
Okay, because immediately
they're not all in trees.
I was thinking, like, are these reptilian?
Oh, so someone's lizard escaped.
So what do we have that lays eggs?
Is it now that hot in Ireland?
there's
lizards
here
now.
They can't come bigger, why not? So I don't know, like, it just struck me as odd that, okay, maybe you're right about birds not all putting eggs in trees, but I've never, in all my years of gardening, I've never come across
with your
eggs
plastic
on the
grass. It's not surprising. There's not many creatures want to make a home in your plastic lawn.
We had wood pigeons. Because you know the way they mate, and they're always together in a pair. You know, lovely looking things. They're not like the towny pigeons that you see. These ones are actually really pretty. But we had a pair of them in the garden, and they laid eggs in. We have a fern, so it's like a big, thick, chunky, you know, trunk. It's almost my height, and then the leaves come in that. But they laid them right in the middle, and the kids were looking at them. We're like, leave them be, and then eventually the little pigeons came out, and away they went. So there is some wildlife in my garden.
The pigeons
yes,
they hatched eventually.
But it's interesting though, like I'm looking at them here now and they don't look particularly like bird eggs that I've seen in nests. I don't know, anyone have any theories? 087-4100-102. Ducks, pheasants and swans all lay eggs in ground nests.
In fairness, I think you'd notice if you had a family of swans living in your garden.
Or indeed pheasants. Or indeed ducks.
Yeah.
Sounds like pheasant eggs, says Chris and Kerry. I don't know, like, as Dermot's saying, if Erin is in Carlingford, in her back, because she's in, this isn't like out in the wilds, this is in her back garden. So something would have come in and laid these.
Corn crakes. Lay eggs in long grass, apparently. Okay. This sounds like the start of the episode of The Simpsons where the lizards take over the town.
Yes.
It could be happening.
We had the same situation with eggs like this. Apparently, foxes bury them. So that's interesting. They could be stolen, kind of like, it could be dinner for the week. And the foxes are coming back
throughout the week and
pick very
up
organized
there.
Of them, isn't it? Do absolutely. Meal planning for the week.
Go to our Twitter at Today FM and have a look at these things. Obviously, it's radio and we're trying to describe them to you, but if you go to Twitter and have a look, you can see the eggs and then give us a theory on what you think they are. 087-4100-102.
Pat and Carlo says, that lady looking for advice on the eggs. Boiling water with a drop of vinegar. Poach for 4 minutes. Serve on top of a 10-ounce fillet steak. Cheers.
Yes, Pat.
Pat, you don't even know what laid them. So,
if they crack open and they have a yolk, I think we're all happy enough to eat them.
Meadow pipits and skylarks also lay eggs on the ground in long grass, apparently, Dave.
Okay, but it's okay, hang on, though. There's no long grass. It's just bark. Like, it's literally a bare piece of ground with bark on it.
Lads, how many people for a split second were trying to figure out how a fox laid eggs, says Wayne in Cork. Well, they steal the eggs and then they bury them. Someone says we have a lot of invasive red-eared terrapins. Invasive terrapin sounds like one of your heavy metal bands.
That's
that you'd be
a
listening
pretty
to.
Good band.
Normally it's too cold for them to successfully breed and I've never heard of their eggs being found, but you wouldn't know what the weather we've been having lately.
Terrapins are because of those little turtley tortoise lads.
Yeah,
so invasive terrapins.
I did not know we had red-eared invasive terrapins.
So are they bought as pets and then they escape or they're released by cruel people? And then they just go off and...
By parents?
Go, yeah, get that thing out of the bath.
Oh no, it's gone. I don't know where it went.
Ronan's in Roscommon this morning. Hey, Ronan.
How's it going, lads?
Not bad at all. So come here, have you found something similar in your neck of the woods?
It was last summer. The kids were out just in the lawn playing and they spotted an egg just lying on the grass. Small little blue egg.
Okay.
So we kind of investigated it, looked at it, left it for a day or so, and then the following day it was more difficult to find. It was if the birds came back and kind of covered it over with a little bit of moss. So we kind of kept an eye on it for a few days, and then I checked it and it hatched so that you could see the little baby bird kind of in the moss. So we thought it was curtains for it at that point in time, but it looks like the bird came back and it brought it with it.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we reckon it was magpies. There was magpies nesting in a tree nearby. And they were coming and going kind of the same spot for a couple of days. So that's what we reckon it was.
So maybe you're thinking the egg fell out of the nearby tree and they just, rather than bring the egg back, just let it hatch there and then brought the baby back?
Or something took it because it was quite away from the tree. That was kind of the baffling thing that we figured out. Like, you know, it was a good 10 meters from where the tree was. Like,
right.
It was strange.
So maybe it was nicked by another bird and then dropped.
Perhaps.
In the getaway.
But you never saw the bird actually, like, you know, become a fledgling and take from the ground nest and do all that kind of stuff?
No. It looked like once it hatched, whether the parents were able to take it away to somewhere.
Right. More safer. Than in the middle of your grass.
I like that you painted such a positive picture. Oh, the parents must have come and taken it. Not like a dog or a cat or any other creature.
No, let's go for the positive.
Let's go. Oh, yes, they must be a happy family now over the tree.
Well, thanks for that, Ronan.
It's the morning time, so.
Yeah, you're right. Definitely.
Good call.
All right, good luck. Talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Annette's in Waterford. How are you?
Hello, how are you guys?
What did you find?
We had some years ago, a blackbird actually nested on the ground between two pallets.
Oh.
And we were wondering, it's the first time I had ever seen it, but yeah, so I suppose it can happen. You know, there's plenty of little trees and bushes, but they went in there and they nested and the little birds went off. We watched them and they just did their normal thing, I suppose, and flew away.
So unlike Ronan, you did see the fledglings take from the nest.
You don't need to put
a positive spin on it.
No, but on saying that, I suppose when we were children, I suppose we could be accused of murder. We were in our granny's orchard.
I don't like the way the story's going, Annette.
We were in our granny's orchard and we saw the bird's nest and we were always told never, never touch the bird's nest or they leave. But sure, we climbed up anyway and there was three or four little blackbirds. I don't know what kind of birds they were in the tree and we had to have a little rub. Needless to say, when we went back, they were all dead.
Oh, no.
Two little birdies, yeah.
From touching them.
So, yeah,
Yep, they were all dead. We were always told by my granny never to touch the birds.
Your granny was right. You obviously you have some kind of superpower you don't know about. You can take the life from anyone from touching it.
Zing.
Okay, Annette, thanks for that positive end to your story. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, the positivity keeps coming. Dermot and Dave, I found a hedgehog about 7 weeks ago setting up home under my shed. She came out for food every night around 10 p.m. I was on holidays last week, and when I got back, I found two baby hedgehogs, but no mommy to be seen.
No, but maybe the mommy's just off getting food or something.
There's orphans now under the shed.
That's, can we try and keep it positive and try and identify Aaron's egg? In fact, we're going to bring in the help of an expert in the couple of minutes' time who may well be able to shed some light on this. Okay, we're talking about Aaron this morning. Aaron got in touch with us and sent us a picture of some eggs she found in her back garden growing out or sitting on top of some bark. And then also send us a voice note explaining what she found and asking us for our help. We've been asking you for your help. David's been in touch on WhatsApp.
Years ago, lads, if you didn't like your neighbour, he was very gone off eggs, or duck egg mainly, in the corner of a garden or their vegetable patch. And by all accounts, their vegetables wouldn't grow that year. They used to be called pishogues, I think. Okay, lads, thank you. Yeah.
By all accounts, David, you can't hide your guilt by saying, by all accounts, their vegetables wouldn't grow. Simon was in touch with us as well.
Hey, lads. Simon here. Dave, why don't you get her to use the, the Google View thing that you were talking about there a few weeks ago? Get that up, scan it on it, and we'll be able to tell you what they are. Mystery solved. Cheers. Love the show.
Thanks, Simon. It's a really good idea. Google Lens is the app you can get for your phone that just when you point it at something, it will reverse image search what you're pointing at and go, oh, it looks like this. And 99 times out of 100, it's right.
Yeah, we were doing it in the field actually the other day, myself and my daughter. We were just looking at this little insect and going, oh, I wonder what that is. And I went, ah, Google Lens, junk. Turned out it was a soldier beetle. Now we know.
Amazing. We've decided to call it an expert, or as somebody pointed out in the text, an expert, who's Collie Ennis, who is the host of the Critter Shed podcast. And Collie, you know all things about all kinds of critters. So we've sent you on the picture of Aaron's eggs in Carlingford. What do you think?
Yeah, they're not eggs.
They're not eggs?
No, they're not eggs. It's actually a fungus. It's called the stinkhorn fungus. Unfortunately named fungus, but yeah, it's a type of mushroom. And that is the beginning stages of the mushroom developing.
Are you sure? Like,
yeah, 100%. They actually used to be called, in Irish folklore, they were called witch eggs. And people used to think they were quite ominous. But that's the first stage of them developing in the mulch, and the giveaway is the fact that they're developing in mulch overnight. Okay. And this is exactly what fungus do. This is how mushrooms appear overnight. And stinkhorns are fascinating kind of mushrooms because most mushrooms spread by spores on the air.
Yeah,
but stinkhorns, they start off as those egg shapes. They develop into a phallic kind of a shape, where hence they get their name.
Right. So
they emit a smell that attracts flies in. It's kind of like a rotten carrion smell. And the flies will land on that mushroom and the spores will attach to the feet of the fly. Fly goes off, lands on the bark in that lovely lady's garden, and the cycle starts again. And that's exactly what's happening there.
Wow.
So they just look like eggs at this stage of their development.
Yeah. Now, over the next couple of days, they're going to
turn into stinkhorns.
Yeah, grow a couple of inches into the air and start producing this.
Can
this
we smell that smell?
Yeah. It's a very distinctive kind of sweet kind of rotten meat kind of smell.
Right.
And people can pick it up too, but it's specifically designed to draw in insects. I don't know if Google would have been able to point that out for you, so I might still have a job yet.
You definitely have a job, Collie. Absolutely you do. And thank you as always for jumping on the line and solving the mystery
for us. Thank you for introducing us to the word stinkhorn. I mean, that's something we can all use today.
Actually used as an aphrodisiac on the continent as well.
Oh, listen, I can't resist someone that smells of dead meat. Collie, good luck. Thank you for that.
Take it easy.
There you go. That's Collie Ennis there, host of the Critter Shed podcast, and all-around expert in all things critters.
Yeah, sorry about the quality of his line there. It wasn't great. We've got, is it Alanya on the line?
Alana.
Alana, how are you?
Not too bad, how are you?
So we just heard that maybe it's a stinkhorn fungus. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good explanation. It's probably someone who really knows his fungi. But yeah, for anyone else who found things like that buried in their garden, there's actually loads of Irish species that will cache. So it comes from the French word cache, which means to hide. And it's a survival strategy. So you've got loads of species that will find an abundance of food and rather than eating it all at once, will hide it and come back to it at a later time.
I suppose squirrels are famous for that, aren't they? Hiding their nuts around the place.
Yeah, they are. But actually some of our birds are really good at it too, like magpies, corvids. So that's everything within the kind of crow family and even jays. And they found that 70% of magpies actually remember where they put the things that they hid as well. Which is 70% of their hidden spots are able to find them again,
How do you know all this, Alana?
Oh, I've just been into nature since I'm really young. I've actually been all over the world working with different species. And when I texted in, I just said how hedgehogs can also cache. And they are fond of eggs as well. And I found that out when I was working with penguins in New Zealand. And they had some invasive hedgehogs that would come in. And they would steal the penguin eggs. So it was actually a big problem because they're pretty endangered. Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool. So were you working with the penguins in the wild or in some kind of a... zoo or that kind of thing?
No, it was in the wild. So it was in the South Island of New Zealand in Sandfly Bay, and they have yellow-eyed penguins. So they're the world's most ancient penguin species. And yeah, they're endangered, but they would come ashore every evening and we'd just keep an eye on them, see what they were doing. And they'd walk all the way up these huge steep sand dunes to where they had burrows. They live in burrows and they'd nest and breed up there, go through their moats. Spectacular stuff, really.
That's
cool.
That's so cool. And what do you do now?
Right now I'm driving up to Wicklow to go and do a bird survey. So
okay. You have the best job. You certainly do, Alana.
I'm going to go and check out some coastal birds hanging out. And actually last night I was out with my nan with a bat detector showing her how to find bat species.
What does a bat detector look like?
Oh, you can even get plugins for your phone or your iPad. And it's so cool, guys. Like, you can go out and it picks up the frequencies that bats make noises at. And they all make, like, their own signature, their own little frequencies. You can tell, like, what bats you have in your roof or what's going on in your back garden. It's so cool.
That's class. Really I'm cool. Definitely going to download that.
Yeah, they're so much fun. My nan is 71 as well, so like I had her walking up the road with a bat detector in the dark, and she was really concerned that the neighbours were going to be like, "What is she doing? She's out on the road."
Alan, that's fascinating. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
No bother. Good luck, lads.
Cheers. Bye. 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 Bye.
Batgran could be a character that's ready to hit our screens.
That's amazing. 087-4100-102. Drop us a text or a WhatsApp. Thanks to Aaron for getting in touch. Aaron, if you're listening, so they're not eggs at all. They're mushrooms. Someone says, are they edible? I highly doubt it. And someone has sent us a Simpsons meme, which is the teacher saying, Mr. Whelan, usually it's Mr. Simpson to Bart, do you find something funny about the word stinkhorn? We just had Collie Ennis there. He's a TCD zoologist and host of the Critter Shed podcast, in to tell us about Erin's eggs that she found in her garden. Turns out they're not eggs at all. So Erin's been back onto us.
Hello, Dermot and Dave, and thank you to all your listeners. Yeah, I was brave enough to go out and scrape out some of the bark and moved up, and yes, they are stinkhorns. Fantastic. In all my gardening years, that's what I wanted to grow in my garden, a stinkhorn. But thanks a million, and off to the green bin they go. Bye-bye.
Not leaving the stinkhorns in your garden. So it turns out that the eggs that Erin thought she found were in fact one phase of the stinkhorn fungus, the mushroom that grows, as Collie said, it ends up stinking of dead meat.
So. Yeah, well, it's people still having their breakfast, so we won't talk about them anymore. Richard's in Kilkenny this morning. How are you, Richard?
How's it going, lads?
Good. What are you up to?
Just doing food deliveries.
Good man. Out and about?
Out and about, yeah.
You got the short pants on?
Oh, of course.
Good man.
Of course.
What's B is B?
Blood is blue.
Blood is blue. Blue bloods. No.
Sorry, lads.
Sorry, Richard. Have a good day.
Bye.
Claire Morris now, County Mayo. We'll find Alan Neville. Hey, Alan.
How are you doing, lad?
Not bad at all. What you got going on today?
Just working. You know yourself.
Yes,
I
do.
As little as possible in this heat.
Where are you working? What are you doing?
In the face of those auto parts in Claire Morris there.
Auto parts?
Yeah.
Is it a sweaty warehouse you're in?
It's not too bad. It's cool enough, which
that's
is all
good.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Myself and Dave are sitting here in retro Man United shirts for some unknown reason. Did you ever have a particular favourite jersey from years gone by?
Yeah, I kind of jumped on the bandwagon there a long time back with a Blackburn Rovers jersey.
Oh, wow, and were you a Blackburn Rovers fan?
Not particularly. I wanted an AC Milan jersey for Christmas. The black and red stripe one.
I know it.
And they couldn't get a hold of it, so they just got me a Blackburn Rovers jersey.
Wow, was it the year they won the league?
It was, in around the time they won the league, yeah.
Right, 95 that was, yes.
That was the era of the baggy jersey.
That was the baggy jersey, yeah. Nice, and the big long sleeves on them.
Am I right in thinking that the Blackburn Rovers jersey was like four squares, two white and two blue?
Yeah. Yeah. But they had the black and red stripe one then as well.
Also, the one that looked a bit like AC Milan.
A bit like AC Milan, that's what it was, yeah.
Well, so Blackburn Rovers were a bit Milan like AC Milan.
So yeah, that's it.
What was your reaction when you opened that present?
Oh, I was delighted, yeah, you know yourself.
You said you were anyway.
You made do.
Yeah. Okay, Alan, in your Blackburn Rovers jersey, what is B is B?
Bovril is bitter.
Bovril is bitter. It's been a while since I've had Bovril, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, a long time ago now, and I think I only had it once or twice now, and that was it.
I used to eat it a fair bit. Like, if anyone doesn't know, it's kind of like a gloopy paste. You just added hot water to it.
It's like you're drinking beef stock, basically.
Yeah.
It was kind of delicious, though.
Mm. Oh, I don't know.
No, I'll be with you, Alan.
Yeah.
No.
Not right.
No.
Sorry.
All right, lad. Thank
you.
Have
a great day. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
So the jerseys we have are kind of the mid-80s. In fact, probably if Brian Robson was playing, then what would this be? Would this be 83?
Maybe. Not 100% sure. Yeah, 83, 84
it's
maybe.
Sharp with the three stripes going down the shoulders.
And we had talked about it on the show because the new kit, although it has the round kind of white collar, it does have the shoulder stripes exactly like that. And then I was just talking to a guy on Instagram who sells these jerseys, and he was like, I'll send Dermot up the shirt, and here you are now in your retro
Money
shirt.
This is my favourite one. I had a picture of Brian Robson on my wall above my bed in this jersey.
I'm wearing the blue one from the same era. Stunning. We look stunning, lads. Right, let's go to Shauna Daunt in Kildare. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, how are you?
Sure, look it. Isn't that it?
Shauna, I know you're on maternity leave, but like people are going to be watching you and the baby strolling in the road in your bright yellow Today FM, Dermot and Dave. Asher, look at that t-shirt going, oh my God, look at Shauna. Look at her.
So jealous. Thank you.
So gel. What's going on? Any crack?
No, nothing now. I'm just enjoying the sunshine here now in Kildare, and it's great. Baby's asleep, so very, very lucky.
What age is baby now?
She was just 8 months last week.
Aw. What's her name?
Emily.
Emily.
Beautiful name.
Yeah, and so she's great now, thank God.
When are you planning on going back to work?
I'll be back the 1st of November, all going well.
Okay, fair bit to go yet.
You're looking forward to it?
I am, yeah, no, I am. I'm going to get back.
No, I am.
I'm convincing myself that I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I'm trying to convince myself, exactly, yeah.
Is it the kind of job that will have you out of the house again, or can you do a bit from home?
Yeah, no, I'll be going back into the National Maternity in Dublin.
Oh, that's where you're at?
Yeah.
Right.
So you're on maternity leave from a maternity hospital.
Exactly, yeah.
Did you deliver your own child today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll be fine.
Good stuff. All right, Shauna. Well, in the meantime, you've got the t-shirt. Let's see if you can get the €650. B is B.
I'm going with bacteria is beneficial.
Bacteria is beneficial. Certainly some of them are.
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced of your own answer.
No,
it's not right.
No, okay.
All right, Shauna, say hi to Emily for us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
A lot of very strange people texting into us.
Oh, yeah?
Bovril on toast with real butter or on cream crackers with real butter.
Oh, hang on. So is this undiluted Bovril? Like the gloopy paste.
Lads, the best way to have Bovril is on either crackers or toast with a little butter.
Jeepers.
What are you doing?
I don't understand. I just assumed.
You might as well just open a box of Bisto gravy granules and chug the lot.
Well, at least it's not granulated. It is like some kind of paste. I don't know. Any more Bovril recipes, you can let us know on 087-4100-102. Whatever happened to oxtail soup? I used to love a tin of oxtail soup. Does it still exist?
It does exist. People drink it or eat it, whatever you do with soup. But I suppose it's just not trendy. Kind of went the same way as tinned fruit cocktail. People just woke up one day and went, that's rank. What are we doing with our lives?
We're talking about Barvril. On the back of Asher, look at Isn't That It? One of the guesses was something to do with Barvril. Jimmy in Kildare says, lads, a mug of boiling Barvril and a fried egg sandwich is the only cure for a hangover. Speaking from experience. Yeah, the Barvril recipes are coming in left, right and centre. At least this one from Mike is a bit normal.
Lads, Barvril, yum, with anything, even better. But fresh sliced pan, loads of butter, potato, cheese and onion into a sandwich. Dunk it into Barvril. Salty goodness is fantastic.
Salty goodness. Not sure about Will's one.
Well, men, what you need to do is you need to get real butter on Brennan's white bread, smother it with Barvril and put in chip sticks in it. Unbelievable, Jim.
So you're smothering the sandwich in Barvril and then putting chip sticks onto that. Like, that's just a little odd.
No, I think there's something wrong with you all.
Alan's in Cavan this morning. Hi, Alan.
Hi, guys.
You have a recipe for us, but not not Barvril related, oxtail soup related.
Yeah.
What's the crack with?
I just have it with everything.
Everything. Like Dave was doubting that anybody ate it beyond sort of 1995, but you'd argue otherwise.
No, I only eat it.
Maybe you're the one keeping it alive. So what yeah. Like, would you just have it as a bowl of soup or what?
Yeah, the lads are right there. Just smother some bread and butter and just dip it in, or just I use it as dips because I don't make any other sauces, so I just use it as dips with like steak and everything.
So hang on, you dip your steak into your soup?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Three packets really thick and sour.
Whoa 3 packets of like the sachets of oxtail soup?
Yeah, it has to be thick, it has to be paste.
Okay.
And yeah, so you just would eat it like you dip, use like a dipping sauce, like a pepper sauce you'd get on the side with a steak?
Exactly. I have to get obviously like gravy in restaurants because I doubt my fiance would go up to a restaurant with me if I was asking for oxtail soup. But
and handing 3 sachets to the waiter and going, could your chef make that up for me?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Do you eat tins of fruit cocktail?
Absolutely, with oxtail soup.
I don't doubt you.
Combo.
All right, see you later, Al. Bye.
Good luck.
I did teach my son how to make a delicious recipe the other day. He's managed his baking. This is no bake job. Where you get a packet of choc chip cookies, the cheap like 30-cent ones, whatever, and a tin of mandarin segments, which nobody eats anymore. And you dip the chocolate chip cookies into the mandarin juice. Put one down and then put a slab of whipped cream in between it, and you're making a little sandwich like Oreos all the way along. Cover the whole thing in whipped cream and then put the little mandarin segments all around it, leave in the fridge for an hour, like to die for.
So the biscuits are soaked in orange.
Dipped in very quickly in and out. So if you soak them too much, they'll turn into mush, obviously. It used to be sherry when we were kids, is what my mother used to dip them into. But now I'm trying to keep my kids away from the sherry and leave that in the press. And so the mandarin juice in the tin, it's honestly fabulous.
I think it sounds gross.
No.
I think I'd prefer to dip the biscuits in oxtail soup, to be honest.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
And it's a rapping, you know, it's a rap with a conscience, that song.
Oh, yeah?
You know, Montel Jordan doesn't get the credit for, you know, keeping it real, but safe at the same time. Because I don't know if you ever listened to the lyrics of that first verse. It says, the party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. So he's like...
He's having his 40 of beer.
40 ounce, yeah. He's chugging the beer, but hey, I'm not driving home. Which is something, it was quite refreshing from the rapper world, considering they, you know, at that time, they were just rapping about shooting everybody, so.
Lisa in Wexford says, we used to have oxtail soup with sausages boiled in. Sausage stew was gorgeous. I'm definitely going to try that. And someone says, Dave, you're dead right. You shouldn't be giving sherry to the kids. It's too expensive, and they wouldn't appreciate it.
Say stuff, this is the music.
Say stuff.
Death soothes
the music.
Say stuff. Death soothes the music.
Make a Black Tower spritzer when you go home.
It's time now for Say Stuff That Suits the Music. This is a part of the show where I'm Dave and I play pieces of music. That man over there, he is Dermot. He's going to say stuff off the top of his head. He thinks suit those pieces of music. Mr. Whelan, prepare yourself because here we go.
This is John. John is going through a tough time. When he woke up, this morning, everyone he knew was gone. I just didn't know what had happened. My life changed in an instant. John is the only person in his village who hasn't gone on a package holiday to Spain. Please, send what you can. Get John to Spain.
The Olympics. What does it really mean to those competing? To represent your country? To don the medal, bronze, silver, or will it be gold? No, it's just to have sex in the Olympic Village. That's what we're all thinking.
Mr. Bond, seems the tables have turned. We've taken all your trousers and we're wearing them. We've taken every pair out of your suitcase, Mr. Bond.
I don't care, Goldfinger. Is that the worst you can do?
No. None of us are wearing any underpants. It's 32 degrees.
Oh, God. Tony, I don't know if I can do it for our holiday. With the COVID going through the airport and touching the handle of the baggage trolley. And oh, God, all the testers of the creams in duty-free. They'll be disgusting. And then... how are we going to hold on to the metal bar in the bus from the gate to the airplane? Oh, gross!
I think there's wine on the airplane.
Okay, that's great, Grant. What time do we take off?
Let me feel it. Come on, come on. Anything about the door. Anything about the door. Yes, don't want. And the beef out to do. And the imp out to do.
Are you just enjoying yourself there? Yeah.
Noreen, what is it for Delma? Oh, I've never danced this fast in my life. In the nursing home! Where's the guy who does the bingo? I don't know, Fidelma, but I dropped something an hour ago and it wasn't Seven Seas cod liver oil, if you get me, drift!
Dave's World. Dave's World. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Okay, Dave's World, a bit of a show where I get to do whatever the hell I want. What I'm going to do today is talk about my World Cup, because Dermot agreed to take part in one of my World Cups on Instagram. He's not a fan of my World Cups on Instagram. In fact, he's not a fan of my Instagram at all.
Look, I tolerate them. You know, I don't get as excited about, you know, everyone's favourite chocolate from the 80s as you would. Or
ooh, good best suggestion.
That's
the next one.
Best ice cream or villains. You know, so I'm polite and I feign interest from time to time.
He doesn't even follow me on Instagram, just so everyone can be aware of that.
Why?
We're literally best friends. I've introduced him to every piece of social media he's ever understood in his life, but he still decided that we have to start. Oh, I'm not going to follow you.
And he hasn't. I just did it to annoy him at the start, and it just never stops being funny.
No, it doesn't.
It's funny.
It's funny. Yeah. So at Dave Today FM is where you'll find me. At Dermot Today FM is where you'll find him. The other voice you're hearing is our Cahill, who's jumped in. Cahill, I've got something for you in a few minutes' time in this chat. I want to bring it to you. It's something you've got to shed light on. But the World Cup that I grabbed Dermot in for is not happening this week. This week is a cheese World Cup. So all the cheese songs are happening this week. Dermot is curating a list for me, which he'll have next week, which will be all the cracker songs.
I couldn't stand by. I didn't want to get involved, but I could not stand by and let a cheese World Cup happen without having the opposite of the cracker. I just couldn't let that happen.
Shout out to the person who messaged me last night and went, "Oh, I thought it was a cheese World Cup." They actually thought it was cheddar against Wensleydale against Brie, which isn't a bad idea. I'll go for that.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to bring some of the matches in the Cheese World Cup, because this is, some of them are super close. The closest match so far is this. Against this.
That's a tough one.
Not easy. Not an easy decision. And so it's proving on the votes. Brian and Shania. No, that's not Brian and Shania. Spice and Rick. Spice Girls. Wannabe going up against Rick Astley.
You'd super have to tight. Go Rick for that, wouldn't you?
See, super tight. I'm not saying what the scores are. I'm just saying it's tight, okay? I'm just saying it's tight. Then Brian and Shania. Up against Shania's Man, I Feel Like a Woman. Not easy to decide in those ones. Carl, I got an email. I got a message on Instagram, and it says the following. It says, it's from Niamh Brown.
Do you remember Niamh?
Yeah, this is going to, I'm going to say something to do with the Venga Boys.
No. Niamh Brown says, ask Cathal Minogue about performing one of your cheese songs in the casual pantomime. I have video evidence if you need it. And the song is Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca, Cathal Minogue.
She didn't send you a video now, did she?
She might.
God.
No, she hasn't. She hasn't any video. Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what's the story? You did Ricky Martin, that's a tough call.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough going, especially on like the fourth night after, late nights after the show.
And were you dancing at the same time?
No, I was kind of at the side, black shirt, kind of, you know, buttoned down
in a way. Yeah.
And yeah, just belting it out. And then there was like dancers around me because I couldn't dance. It was a fierce belter of a tune now. It's not one people be breaking out now at a party.
But
singing.
My favourite two games that are happening at the moment are this. It's party time. Against the Irish lads. Because I don't know what way I'd vote in that. I genuinely don't. I would struggle with that. But also, and the computer chooses the games. I don't choose the games. But it put 5... against 6. Right? Boys with a power to rock you. Blowing your mind so you gotta get into. Against.
I think that song is probably the cheesiest of all the songs.
Yeah.
The melody that of it is super cheesy. That match.
And I need to say something as well to the people who are playing along. Cheese is not an insult. Okay, there's a lot of people messaging me going, how dare you call that song? No! Cheese is a wonderful badge of honour. It's a guilty pleasure. It's a song that gets you up out of your seat and gets you going crazy.
You told Shania Twain insult. Her music was cheese. She was not pleased.
Shania doesn't understand cheese. Anyway, the cheese, World Cup is currently going on my Instagram at DaveTodayFM. There's also a playlist of all 32 songs which you can get up on my Instagram if you want to go and have a listen to it. The cracker one will happen next week after we crown a winner to the Cheese World Cup, and then we will pit the best of the cheese against the best of the cracker.
Ooh.
In an incredible third week World Cup.
Do you have a favourite? Are you allowed?
But I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to say. I have a favourite for every World Cup. And by the way, I'll point out, my favourite loses pretty much in the first round of every single World Cup.
Good.
So I'm more disappointed than everybody else.
You're definitely NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, aren't you? I mean, that's kind of a given. Backstreet Boys, I would say.
Would you? I couldn't possibly leave any hints. Like, it's Today FM. Give your pal Dave a follow, says a text. The World Cups are good, to be fair. Listen, I don't need his pity. You know? He doesn't want to follow me.
He doesn't want a pity follow.
That's fine. Dave, I can't believe Mickey Joe Hart didn't make the World Cup for this outrageous decision. I think he should play We've Got the World Tonight immediately, says Laura. Well, Laura, there's tough choices to be made before any World Cup, and narrowing the choice down to 32 is difficult. In fact, I think you'll find some of the pain this week, Dermot, as you put together your list of 32 crackers for next week. It's not easy.
Very hard to
pick 32.
Yeah, and you'd think that 32 would cover all the bases, but there's always ones you leave out.
Regarding Dave's latest World Cup, says Martin and Donegal, are we voting on the best song or the cheesiest song? Also, Dermot Don ever dissed Dave's World Cups. I even set up an Instagram account just so I could take part. Good man, Martin.
What, Martin?
No, you just look at each battle and say which song is the cheesiest. It's not...
See, people are going to vote for their favourites.
I know. Look, I try and encourage people to vote with what the theme of the World Cup is. Which of these songs is the cheesiest is what you're supposed to do. I'm aware people will go, I love the Bryan Adams song more than the Shania Twain song. I'm going to vote for that, even if they think the Shania Twain song is cheesier and they'll break the rules. I can't help how the thousands of votes go. But that's democracy. You just do, you know.
Probably overthinking it.
People are just going to hit yes or no.
Dave, play the Shania Twain interview again for the crack. I'll tell you what, I'll play two versions of the Shania Twain interview. This is an interview we Dermot and I did with Shania Twain, which was the most technically distorted interview we've ever done. I couldn't hear Shania for most of the interview. It was in a newsroom, which was just also weird. Anyway, at one point, I was trying to pay her a musical compliment by telling her how successful her songs are for me in Cheese and Crackers. This is what we played out in the edited interview, okay? Well, I have to thank you as well because we do a little game on our show called Cheese and Crackers where I'm Dave and I choose kind of, you know, guilty pleasure songs, cheesy tunes, and Dermot picks what he thinks are cracker tunes, like really good rock tunes, stuff like that. And we let the listeners vote and decide which song is going to go on the radio. And I have won consistently every time I've chosen Shania Twain.
Oh, well, that's good.
It's really good, yeah.
What a great interview that was. In reality, this is the unedited piece that we play that went out in real life when Shania Twain was not impressed.
You know, guilty pleasure songs, cheesy tunes, and Dermot picks what he thinks are cracker tunes, like really good rock tunes, stuff like that. And we let the listeners vote and decide which song is going to go on the radio. And I have won consistently every time I've chosen Shania Twain.
Okay.
And literally, that, my friends, is the joy of an edit.
Yeah, this was the reason she wrote "That Don't Impress Me Much," was Dave's question. Oh my God.
Yes.
You see, a can of cheese is not a compliment to someone who's like a Grammy award winning artist. Does not want to hear that she's cheesy.
I'm sorry, Shania, you've played cheesy country pop. And I mean, like, I don't think you should be embarrassed by that. You've sold 100 million more records than anyone else in the world as a female artist.
You don't get to decide how she feels about it.
Nope.
You just say, hey, Shania, great to have you on the show.
No.
Your music is great.
I was determined to tell her that she was part of my cheese wins.
Yeah, I'm sure all the awards aside, the number ones, the platinum albums,
yeah,
being top of your cheese chart is definitely the one she's going to put
on
the mantelpiece.
Imagine that, yeah. She's won 8 Grammys, sold 100 million records, and she once won Dave's Cheese World Cup. No, I don't think that's going to be in the intro, in fairness.
Now, getting sponsored for your local team can be really tricky, but getting sponsorship from an internationally known model and actress might sound impossible, unless that is your Bantry Basketball Club, who have just announced that Emily Ratajkowski, who you might know from movies like Gone Girl, will be sponsoring their under 15 and 16s jersey. Pat Curran from the club joins us now. He's on the line. How are you, Pat?
Hello.
I hear the under 15s, under 16s are ready for the catwalk now that a model has jumped in.
Absolutely, yeah, the pressure's on them now.
So you'll have to explain the backstory. How did you end up getting sponsored by an internationally known model and actress?
Okay, well, first of all, we have that sponsorship for a few weeks, and yesterday we decided to tweet thanks to all our sponsors, which are Bantry Credit Union, the Anchor Bar, Crimin Coaches, Bantry Bat and Tile, the Boston Bar, Brian Drummond Upholstery, Manning's Emporium, and MCM Construction.
My God, how did you remember all of them?
Nicely done.
Right, so small plug there for all of our sponsors.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's just the phone never stopped in for the evening with retweets and people kind of thinking to his gas and all of that. And so the backstory basically is John Ratajkowski and his wife Kathy have a house in Bantry. I'd be friendly with them, and I was chatting to John the other night, and we were talking about the new season because he's a big basketball fan. And I just said it to him, you know, maybe Emily might think of sponsoring one of the teams, and he texted her and he was back to me within 5 minutes saying she'd love to do it.
Within 5 minutes. I know it's his daughter, but it just still sounds funny that you have someone who'll just text international model and actress and go, you want to sponsor the under 15-16s? Yes.
Yes,
I do.
I don't know if you remember, we won an All-Ireland in the school there a few years ago, and she tweeted out about that as well.
That's right, and actually, she was Colosta, like,
Colosta Pubble
Bantry. She did it in all Osquelga and all. I remember that.
She did.
Caused uproar because she could speak a bit Irish.
Yeah, we're delighted. You know, everyone knows of Emily Ratajkowski, the model and actress, but, you know, there's a lot more to her. You know, she's used her platform an awful lot to advocate and speak up for people who are marginalised, such as immigrants.
Mm.
You know, she's very vocal on women's rights, Black Lives Matter, LGBT+. You know, it's very inspirational for young people. And, you know, she sets a really good example about an equal and accepting society, I suppose. So,
yeah,
we're very proud to have her associated with the club. You know, she's
she's a really strong sense of social justice, and she's really not afraid to use her platform to speak out against injustices. So it's something very inspirational for our kids here in Bantry.
Mm. And when she is in Bantry, you know, is she sort of a regular fixture now, where people don't really pay a blind bit of notice if she's down getting a loaf of bread?
Not at all, no. Sure, like, you could be sitting down having a cup of coffee in Bantry and you could have anyone up beside you, like Graham Norton or anyone, you know. People don't take any notice of the rural areas, really, I suppose.
Wouldn't give them the satisfaction.
Not at all, no. People don't hurt.
You mentioned something, though, at the start of there. You know, there's a lot of pressure now on the under-15s, 16s. The eyes of the world's media will be on them to make sure they perform well this season.
They already are, yeah. We've kind of, yeah, some of the tweets were very funny. There was, some of them were a bit over the top, but they were, yeah, there's the eyes of the world are certainly on them now for a day or two, and, you know, maybe when the season starts in September and you have Inamorata written across your jersey, the first game might be a bit daunting, but
they'll be able to get them and get a couple of shoulders in early.
And so what actually will be written on the jersey? It's Inamorata. Explain that for people.
Inamorata is Emily Ratajkowski's clothing brand.
Okay. Obviously Maria and Emer would know that, but myself and Dave are here blank face.
Listen, Pat, I'm a little bit annoyed at this, I'll be honest with you now. I coached the under-10s in Portmarnock AFC, and I was thought I was the coolest guy because I got Today FM across their jerseys. But no, now you've gone and usurped me as the position of the coolest sponsor guy.
Well, no problem. The pressure's on all the local celebrities around the country now to up their game.
Absolutely. And of course, Dave is an international model himself.
Oh, yeah.
He comes from the same stable.
Well, I suppose, you see, another reason why we would have went to Emily's because Bantry has been kind of hit hard with COVID. We can't really knock on the doors of the businesses that were closed down for such a long time. It'd be, you know, we can't just rock up and look, say, can you sponsor us a set of kit when they haven't really made any money in the last, you know, 16 or 18 months.
So that's fair.
You know, we had to kind of think outside the box for sponsorship this year, and we're still thinking. Well, so if anyone else out there wants to sponsor us, we'd be delighted.
I think you've done well now, in fairness. You will need an extra hour on the show for you to list off all the sponsors. I mean, I'm excited. Like, is basketball a big sport in and around Bantry or Cork in general?
It's massive in Cork. It's not so big in West Cork. There's only two clubs, Bantry and Skibbereen. Macroom have started a club. Yeah, but it's quite big in Bantry. We have a huge membership. Unfortunately, we don't have enough coaches or enough time in complexes to take everybody who wants to play basketball in Bantry, but we're in the process of something big as well with a new complex, but it's a few years down the line.
Right.
Well, fair play to you for having the gall to just ask them outright, because a lot of people would have been too afraid to
tiptoe around it.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, dumb priest never got a parish.
I've never heard it put better in my life. Pat Curran, coach of Bantry Basketball Club's under-15s, under-16s, now sponsored by Emily Ratajkowski's Inamorata brand. Congratulations and best of luck for the season to come.
Thanks a million, lads. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Pat.
Bye-bye. See you, Pat. Emer Corcoran is in Enfield. How are you?
Good morning.
Sure, look it. Isn't that it?
You're not messing around, Emer. Straight away, the buzzer goes off and you win a Dermot and Dave t-shirt. Well done.
Woohoo!
So, are you on your way to Westport today?
Yes, indeed, we are.
Who's going?
Myself and Ciarán and the baby, the little crazy little man who's just 8 months old, and we're on our way there now.
Great. You sound all excited. And whereabouts are you going? So you're going to Westport, and where are you going to stay?
We're staying in the Plaza.
Oh, nice.
The Plaza!
Very nice. And we'll see if we can give you spending money for your holiday. What is B is B?
Baby is bananas.
And is your 8-month-old baby bananas?
Correct, he is.
What's his name?
Fionn.
And has he started like waddling around the place and falling into things yet?
Yeah, he's doing a little bit of kind of crawling and creeping around, yeah.
Good. Great.
This is the point, though, when you have a family room in a hotel, or even just a room, and, you know, he doesn't take up much space.
Are you doing the travel cot thing, or...?
Yeah, travel costs. He doesn't take much room at all. No, yeah. Only kind of about 20% of the stuff is ours.
Yeah, you have to bring a fair few things for the baby, yeah, all right.
Know, there's just so much gear, isn't there?
There's a lot.
Okay, what's... so baby is bananas is your guess. That's not right, I'm afraid. Poor no. Fionn isn't going to win the money for you today.
Oh, shucks. Thanks, Will.
All right, we'll send you the T-shirt, Eamon. Have a great holiday.
Drive safe.
Good luck.
Bye. Andrew Fitzgerald's in Shannon, County Clare. Hello, Andrew.
Dave, how's it going?
Not bad. Are you working in an office?
I am.
Air conditioning, yes or no?
No, windows open.
Oh, and how is it the last few days? Has it been okay?
That's tough. I was off Monday and Tuesday, come back yesterday, back to reality with a bang.
Sweating.
And how's poor Shannon Airport?
Not great.
Is there any flights going in and out of it?
There is a few, all right, yeah. But not as much as there used to be.
It's very sad, isn't it? Because, I mean, I always associate Shannon Airport with incredible excitement, because if we were ever going on package holiday when I was a kid, which, you know, back then didn't happen very often, you know, it was such an exciting place. The place I saw my first giant Toblerone.
Well, don't forget, when I was small and people would be allowed into town on the bus and you'd pay a pound or whatever it was to get into town, a lot of the parents of people that I was friends with, because we lived in Portmarnock, which is very near the airport, they all worked in the airport, so we all had either cheap...
Oh, he's getting a call.
Who's that, Andrew?
No one.
All right, I'll continue boring you with my story. No,
go on, answer.
I better win, though. They can wait. I better win.
Answer the call.
So anyway, we used to go to Shannon Airport, myself and my friends, because we got cheap or free flight. It used to cost 50 pence. To go one way.
What?
Yeah, because we were staff. Our parents were staff. So literally it was 50 pence to buy a ticket. Or maybe it was...
And they wonder why that airline got into trouble over the years.
And we'd go down in the morning, spend the day in... We weren't allowed inside the airport. Spend the day in the airport just sitting on like the chairs we would wait on, eating something in the thing, and then get the 6 o'clock flight back home again.
There's not much in Shannon Airport.
No, there was nothing. No. There was nothing.
You were bored. No, it's very sad. So I hope that the airport manages to get back to the way it was. It was always very exciting. Yeah. Even for the Munster team, and that's where all the leave their from Shannon Airport as well. So
okay, Andrew, B is B.
Ball is burst.
Ball is burst. 700 quid.
No,
and you had to sit through my boring Shannon story. Sorry about that.
We all had to sit through it, Andrew.
See you, Andrew.
Sound lad.
Bye. All the best. Bye-bye.
So we've got Rachel with her daughter Emily in Marley Park in Dublin. Hello, Rachel.
Hello. Hi. Hi.
Hiya.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Are you going anywhere exciting today, Emily?
We're going to my art camp in Marley Park.
Art camp? That's great.
Yeah, with Helen Highland, who's an artist in Marley Park.
Okay, so you're going to teach you a few things. Which do you prefer, drawing with pencils or painting or doing the terrible potato art that I seem to do all the time in national school? What do you like doing?
I like painting.
Painting, yeah. It's good and messy, and I think you can express yourself with a lot of paint, can't you?
And Emily, do you ever bring anything home from art camp?
And we're painting bags today.
Bags? That's pretty cool.
Or plastic bags?
No, tote bags.
Tote bags.
Okay, so you can put your own design on it. That's a great idea.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and maybe this could be your first bag that you make and you suddenly become a fashion designer then, after it. We'll buy your tote bags.
Definitely.
Just write Dermot and Dave on the front.
Rachel and Emily, we've got €700 for you. Tell us what B is B stands for.
Basketball is bouncy.
Basketball is bouncy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to do this to your child, Emily.
We were listening early.
Oh, the Bantry story around with the basketball sponsorship. Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Bantry.
Ladies, it is incorrect, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Okay.
Have a great time in art camp. See you, Emily. Bye, Rachel.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Do you remember that potato art? I don't know what it was. I don't know what I just had exceptionally lazy teachers. It just seemed to be always potato art, where you cut the potato in half.
Yeah.
You do a kind of a carving, and then you dip it in the paint, stick it on the thing.
It's a solid way to spend an hour.
It's the smell of the raw potatoes will never leave me.
Sponge. We used to do the kitchen sponges. Used to kind of cut the, you know, the ones that had the holes in them.
Never had them.
And then finger painting, obviously, was the greatest thing of all time.
Now, that's lazy art teaching.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so it's probably just reflective of the art budget, actually. Painting with our fingers again.
€750 is now what I should look at, isn't that? It is worth B is B. Guess the words, win the cash. €750 tomorrow, just before 10. We'll open the lines. Guess B is B and win yourself the money.
Nuala in beautiful White Strand in County Clare, right down there on the sea, says, guys, I brought my kids on a flight from Shannon to Dublin. We hit some turbulence and my three-year-old asked, were we stopping for petrol? Just pulling into the services.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Good tune, that blue song, says Chris in Limerick, but it's easily one of the worst videos I've ever seen. Lol, the aliens and the dude pretending to run. Yeah, it is pretty poor, all right. I was talking about my incredible trips to Shannon Airport.
Yeah.
My friend, one of my friends has gotten in touch, Stephen Noonan, is listening to us in Abu Dhabi right now. And he's confirmed that we did indeed have many days of crack in Shannon.
Little dates.
Yeah.
Down to Shannon.
All right, Goonie. Good to hear you're listening in Abu Dhabi.
Was there even a restaurant down there at that time?
I think there was a cafe. We never had any money. We only had the money to like just go down. And I think maybe we were able to bring, because it was pre-9/11, obviously. We were able to bring food with us in our backpacks and water and all.
So for 50p.
Yeah. I think it might have been 75p. It might have been 150 return, I think. But it was cheaper than getting the bus into town. I remember that.
Fully state-owned airlines. What could possibly go broke? We got Noni's coming up in a few minutes.
Oh, gosh,
She's got a pram full of very strange things. But we got sent in a sketch by a chap called Keith Law. He does some work for the Ulster Fry website, which is absolutely hilarious.
Very funny, yeah.
Obviously, mostly based around things that are happening in Northern Ireland. But obviously, I think we can all relate to this song about the heat. It does feature Barra Best, who I suppose is Northern Ireland's equivalent of Evelyn Cusack.
Oh, Barra, yeah. You'll know Barra from BBC Weather and presenting on BBC, yeah. Watching BBC Northern Ireland as well.
He gets top billing in this tune. Anyway, have a listen. This is Keith Law on Today FM.
See this here heat wave, it's a catastrophe. I'm from Northern Ireland, nor the sweat slashing off of me. Open your blinds, went up to the skies and see. I'm just a pale boy from a pale family. Now I'm completely burned, head to toe, shoulders blistered, peeling nose, praying that the wind blows, cause right now I am scundered with the heat. The heat. Barra, there's a host by bell. All the flowers in my bed got no water, now they're dead. Barra, it's my complexion. Shade. Barra, ooh.
Let the wind blow.
I don't wanna fry. Can you believe that Spain is colder than Donegal?
Noni's in with us. How are you, Noni?
I'm worried, okay. That was a good one.
Not bad at all. How are you getting on?
I get off. God, the heat. I have to do something about it. I've had the prime. I've had air con put into the prime. Just to keep the temperatures down.
It seems a little bit extreme to invest that money in the prime. It's not just like, maybe, I don't know, take off the headscarf.
What? How dare you? You'd have to at least buy me chips before I do that. My God, actually, I'm a lady.
When was the last time you washed your hair?
Let's just say VO5 was written in Roman numerals. But I tell you, I have a new range of products now.
Oh.
I have, I'm selling sunscreen.
That's
big, big money in that big markup, lads.
What brands are you selling?
Brands?
Yeah.
Oh, lordy dog. Oh, brands. Mr. Duke of Windsor Hill. I have to have a brand. I made my own.
Oh, I need that. No. What's in it?
Oh, listen, it's top of the range, kid.
Yeah.
Yop. crushed bounty bars for the coconut smell.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Yeah, and then mashed sunglasses for the keep out the sun.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah, what it's factor, a bit crispy.
I'd say it is. What factor does it give you?
50.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you're 50 times more likely to get a rash using my new sunscreen by Noni.
Please don't ever do that.
Because you're worth it, kid.
No, nothing is worth putting that on your body.
I've also got fake tan.
Oh.
Yeah, you could do it some.
Right.
Yeah, you're so white, parliaments are suing you for copyright infringement. They want their colour back.
What's in your fake tan?
Bisto, Bovril. And melted chocolate buttons.
God. And what's the end result? What's it look like?
Oh, not bad. It's still in development. Right. You know, it'll give you a certain look.
Well, what look?
Somewhere between Friesian heifer and the carpet in Coppers. Blotchy.
That sounds terrifying.
You look well, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll know you have it on our eyes.
Oh, that's good,
everyone
yeah.
know you're wearing Noni's fake tan, that's for sure.
I'd say so. Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, you can laugh away. I've had offers. From big companies now.
Really?
Suzanne Jackson, do you know her? Suzanne Jackson.
Sosumi?
From Sosumi. Oh, she's always out to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. That's her again now. Suzanne! Hello? No! I won't work for you! I can't. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I am for real. That's his guy. Listen, I'm off down to the beach now, Kilkey, to sell my wares, you know.
Yeah.
Here, I have a pair of my chocolate sunglasses.
Oh, thanks. Are they any good?
They're about as good as my licorice Speedos. Oh, God. Listen, I better go. Suzanne, you're embarrassing yourself now, kid. I got your muffin basket. Listen. No, more yap, less Instagram, kid.
We're talking about the Olympics. The opening ceremony starts at midday today, around about the time the Dermot and Dave show ends. They were very nice to accommodate us on that one. And Ed is on the line from Limerick. How are you, Ed?
Hi, Dermot. How are you doing?
So you've actually been to an Olympics opening ceremony?
I've been to quite a few of them, yeah. And I was just actually thinking during your loft part there about all the lofty chances that are going to be missed this year by the athletes. I mean, they've been training for 4 years and suddenly now it's all damp squib, you know, there's no all the people standing around fawning over them, and there was a lot of right in front of a better word going on at the Olympics.
Well, apparently though, the beds, those eco beds that they have this year that are made out of cardboard essentially, and they're meant to be very eco-friendly, but there was a rumor going around that they were designed that way as well to basically discourage hanky-panky in the Olympic Village, because if you got too rough and ready on them, they would fall to pieces.
Well, it's the first time that 10 condoms per athlete hasn't been available in your pack when you got there. So clearly the Japanese are no, and their birth rate has gone down to 0.3 of a child per family or something. So
right, they don't want to be held responsible for any Olympic babies.
No.
What were you doing at the opening ceremony?
Well, I used to work at a few of the games, but I remember we'd be invited to the opening ceremony and there'd be a lot waiting around. You know, it's one of those, the Irish aren't good at organized crack. And so we'd be told to be there at 5 and it'll start at 8. And the athletes are told that too. But the Irish would be, you know, our messer instinct would kick in all the time because you get restless and stuff. And the athletes in the tunnel would start chatting up the Israelis and chatting up the Iraqis, these beautiful athletes, because we were alphabetically, we had to stand beside them in the tunnel, the Irish did.
Yeah.
Because it went Israel, Ireland, Iraq. And so by the time they were coming out, the Irish had chatted up all the Israeli women that were at the front and, you know, taking their names and taking their numbers and stuff like that. But this year now it's, and all the volunteers as well who are stunning, but this year none of that's going to happen.
Ed, I'm taking it you were single when you were at these things.
No, no, no,
with pretty much one thing on your mind.
I was in the crowd. I'm talking about looking over at the athletes that were all crowded there in the tunnel. No, but this year it'll be like Bruff St. Patrick's Day parade. You know, they'll just be walking around waving their flags, and you'll expect tractors and Datsuns to be coming behind. You know,
I don't think. Yeah, no offense to Bruff, I'm sure their Paddy's Day parade is brilliant. And is it much of a spectacle to witness if you're sitting in the crowd?
Oh, it's astonishing. You know the way you're cynical about these things, but once you're in it, once you're there, you get completely sucked up with the kind of happy clappy, this is it.
Do you remember that scene in The Simpsons at the start of one big game where a group of dancers had come out called Hooray for Everything? Do you remember? There's an element of Hooray for Everything.
I'll tell you what the most exciting thing, you get in and you get your seat, and then underneath the seat is a pack. And you take out the pack and you have all these different lights because you're going to have to be spelling words during it. You know the way you hold up this light for at that time and you start to get really into that. That becomes
it's kind of like a better organized Coldplay concert where it wasn't just random flashing wristbands. You actually are color coordinated and you have to write stuff. Ed, I got to let you go. It sounds like a bit of crack and someday I would love to hear what actually happened over there. It sounds like you enjoyed all of the opening ceremonies a lot. Good to talk to you.
Bye,
we've got Aoife Gleeson who's in Limerick City. Aoife, it's Dermot here. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Very well. What's happening in Shannon's side there now?
Not much. I'm just in work.
I know there was a debate raging there. Don't know if it was quite raging, but it was bubbling anyway, about King John's Castle, sometimes called St. John's Castle.
And King John's Castle, yeah.
Yeah, some people want it to be called Limerick Castle.
Limerick Castle, yeah. I mean,
Why is that? Why do they want?
Because apparently King John was a bit of a goal,
and he never actually visited the castle either.
Oh,
no, he didn't. I think maybe his son did at one point. It was like a holiday home. They just never wanted.
Oh, was he just like, I get loads of things named after me. I can't go to them all.
Yeah, but apparently for centuries before that, it was known as Limerick Castle. And he just obviously, you know. Because they were British, English, they got everything. You know?
Did he put his name on it, or did somebody else say, he's so great, let's give him this?
Well, he was king, so his name went on loads of castles. That just happens to be one of them.
Okay.
So you don't feel particularly strongly about it at all, Aoife?
Not much. Like, I'm a bit indifferent about it. Like, I understand both sides of the debate. So.
Oh, I hear what you say, Aoife. You hate castles. Everyone's hearing it.
Yeah, I hate them.
The look of them. Size of what's weird is that I don't ever remember visiting John's Castle when I grew up in Limerick on any kind of a school trip ever. But I went to school about four times. Oh, did you? Well, I went to Bunratty Castle 4 million times, which is over in the Clare border.
You can see it from there.
We had to wait till sixth class for Bunratty. That was a special treat.
That was the big time, was
Ooh.
It?
Yeah. What's the worst school tour you ever went on, Aoife? Do you remember back that far?
I'll
start,
know.
Okay?
Yeah.
I went to Leisureland in Galway to the amusements. Ooh.
That
was
the worst.
Did you?
That sounds like a good one.
It was closed.
Oh.
We got there and it was off season. And there was a lot of standing around. And that was it. We just got back on the bus.
I have a good one. I only remember the good ones. We went to this farm called, I think it was called Morell Farm. Don't know where it was because I was small. And they had these giant rabbits. Like, they were the size of Alsatians, these rabbits. And then nobody believed me that they were giant rabbits. And they are giant rabbits.
They're a thing?
They all thought that I was, because I was small, I thought
that they seemed huge.
Huge, or else that they were different animals. But they weren't. They were giant rabbits. Mm.
I also went to a place called Mount Mellery, which is a monastery. And, of course, we weren't allowed into the monastery, so we just walked around the graveyard for hours and bought a load of stuff out of the holy shop, you know, all the religious stuff. And somebody stole a little statue of Mary. And there was big trouble on the bus, let me tell you that, Aoife.
I think my worst one, I just thought of one.
Okay.
We went into Limerick City. We went into town.
Oh, that's it.
And I mean, I went to a school in the suburbs, so...
You went a couple of miles up the road into town?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to Galida for primary school.
No, where did you go in town?
Pennies.
I went to get a milkshake, I think. Like,
that's Penny's a hell of a tour. I know. No ski trips.
Yeah.
What's B is B?
Bullying is bad.
Bullying is bad. It is bad, but it is wrong. I'm sorry, Aoife. Oh. We kept you on the phone for 4 days and you were not right.
But look,
sorry.
We all had a nice time.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Now back on the bus. See you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we'll put another 50 quid in, will we? 800 euro now it's worth. Would you like to share your worst school tour memories? I also smashed my front tooth off the wheel of a bumper car in Lahinch Amusements on another school tour. That was a bit of crack. Oh, literally. 087-4100-102 if you want to share your favourite or worst school tour memories. I grew up in the UK, says Kerry in Longford, and one of our school trips was to Grimsby Fish Docks. We got a free mackerel to bring home.
The smelliest of all fish.
Imagine the smell on the bus if every kid got a mackerel. The heat blasting out of those vents. We went on a tour of the local tobacco factory.
Wow.
Here, kids, I'm presuming. Did you get some cigarettes to take home? at least if you smoked on the bus, it would cover up the smell of mackerel. I went to school tours. I think I was 1992 in school in Listunvarna beside the Burren. And most of the class grew up and lived in the Burren. So the teachers decided to bring us, wait for it, to the Burren. I suppose it's one way of getting to know the area that you live in. Billy in Mitchellstown says, Dermot, we were taken to the slaughterhouse in Galty Meats for our sixth class tour. Wow, that is a real country tour right there.
I spoke to someone recently who did the same thing on a school tour, and they were brought around the whole slaughterhouse, the production line, from start to finish.
Yeah.
And ended up bringing home a pound of sausages. But he said he hasn't eaten sausages in a year, probably once in all of the time since the school tour till now. He's eaten sausages. He just can't bring himself to eat them after the school tour.
I would wager that if any of us were brought to an abattoir, or I don't know, is the term slaughterhouse or abattoir? I'm not really sure. I don't
meat
know
the internet.
A meat factory. If any of us were brought there, chances are, like, a lot of us would never eat meat again.
Yeah.
If you actually saw what happened,
I think it's that distance
between seeing an animal in the field and the sausage on the plate. That's what keeps us in that. Animal, you know, eating sausages state of mind.
Yeah.
So it was either a really, maybe it was like a vegetarian teacher who said, I know what I'll do. Yeah. Suddenly there's 30 vegetarians sitting there the following Monday morning. How do you grow veg, miss? We're all traumatized.
Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave show on todayfm.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekday mornings from 9 on Today FM.